practice during the day, we offer special gold key hours, early morning hours from 7 to 10 when we're open exclusively for business members. We know that time and money are important to you. Helping you make the most of both is why we're here. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
Maybe you think it's normal. Or you're afraid they'll push you away. Maybe you tried pot too and you feel like a hypocrite.
Tweety,
whatever the excuse, get over it. Because if your kid smokes pot now, they're at risk for serious problems later. So be the parent. Say something.
We need to talk now.
To help them with their problem, first you have to get over yours. Action. The anti-drug.
For more information, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the
As Hurricane Frances impacted Florida, the Wink News team was there.
Arcadia, Wachula Elementary,
the Lee Civic Center,
Hardy County.
With Southwest Florida's only team of certified meteorologists, Jim Farrell, Scott Zediker, Marisa Oaks, and Janine Albert, working around the clock, providing you the critical information you needed.
For the outer rain bands of a hurricane.
Every day, depend on Wink News. Southwest Florida's news and information leader. There are many choices you make, so thank you for choosing Wink as the best in Southwest Florida. In a recent News Press Readers poll, Wink TV was awarded Best TV Station. Wink News anchors Jim McLaughlin and Lois Tomey, Best News Team. Chief Meteorologist Jim Farrell also honored in the Best of Southwest Florida poll. And Wink's Brian Simon voted Best Sportscaster. So what makes Wink the best? Just watch Wink News and find out. Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
Close your eyes in Chicago, and you can hear the sound of zebra braying in Africa. Look hard out your window in D.C., and you can see the snow-covered peaks of the Andes. Stand on a corner in L.A. and feel the hot wind of the Sahara brush across your face. The world is that small. We are that connected. Please visit earthshare.org and learn how the world's leading environmental groups are working together, making it so simple for you to make a difference. Because we are many, and we are one. Please visit us at earthshare.org to learn more. Earthshare. One environment. One simple way to care for it all. A public service message from Earthshare and the Ad Council.
Attention, baby boomers of America. A message from the American Optometric Association.
By now, your little foray into middle age has introduced you to presbyopia, a loss of close focus. And you've probably run to the drugstore to try on reading glasses. By trial and error. Don't try to be your own eye doctor. Get the reading glasses you really need. See your optometrist. Or you could just learn to live with the headaches and the poor fitting glasses and the nausea.
Your weekend choice for Power Talk. This is Southwest Florida's Power Talk 1200 WBTK.
Southwest America. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good afternoon. Yes, indeed. Guy James here with you from Hurricane Central in Southwest Florida. My goodness. They say bad things come in threes. Well, here we go again. First Charlie, then Francis, and now Ivan. Who knows what's going to happen, but we do hope that killer hurricane stays out in the Gulf of Mexico. That is a fact. It'll stay out there where it belongs. Other than that, the water is blue and the beaches are sandy and beautiful around here. It's kind of a nice day. And the hurricane has slowed down and probably not going to get to us until Tuesday. if at all. So maybe keep your fingers crossed for us. Maybe we'll get by with this one too. I hope so. Quite a week, a very eventful week. Things really popping on the political scene, as you know. But today is 9/11. We observe the third anniversary of a horrible attack upon our country by probably one of the most evil elements of humanity this world has ever known. To those of us who just wanted to live out our lives in peace, devoted to our God and our family, this act was really unthinkable. It brought such great sorrow to us, along with fear and anger and other human emotions. It brought about in all of us a real need to perhaps reflect upon our priorities. It was an act that would test our resolve, our strength, our courage, and our ability to reason and understand the rest of the world. And it would test the wisdom and decision makers, you know, of our leaders. On some of these issues, we passed the test. Americans have the resolve to overcome terrorism. We have the strength and courage to do it as well. But I believe the capacity of millions of Americans to reason and understand the rest of the world has been proven to be, at best, very limited. After 3 years, I would say to you that the average American does not know the motivation behind these terrorists, nor has he made any real attempt to do so. That's my opinion. The average American has been content to lay the problem in the hands of a few of our leaders, and I believe that lack of an attempt to understand the root of the problem has proven to be disastrous, and it's been disastrous in several ways. We've lost over 1,000 precious American lives and have had many more thousands horribly maimed and scarred for life because of the inability of our military and government leaders to understand the nature of our enemies. What reasonable person can now doubt that we've totally misunderstood the Iraqi people and mishandled the war that's been foisted upon them? The president said he miscalculated. My God. Miscalculated? He had some of the great military minds of our time warning him that this chaos now happening in Iraq would happen, but he did nothing. Nothing about their concerns and caution. Why? Why wasn't he man enough to listen and take their advice instead of the advice of men like Paul Wolfowitz and Richard Pearl, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, men who were known to have wanted a war in the Middle East long before Bush ever took office? You know, did Bush ever read the frightening plans set forth in the Progress for a New American Century manifesto? I wonder. Did he not know that they plainly stated that they could not implement their plans for conquering and securing the Middle East oil resources for decades, barring, and here's the frightening part, do you remember this, the quote in the PNAC manifesto, barring a catastrophic event like another Pearl Harbor? Could he not see that these men were wanting, maybe even salivating over the opportunity to go to war in the Middle East against whomever they chose as the evildoer of the month? The cold, hard fact is that they were giddy over getting their opportunities to start this imperialistic preemptive war. They knew Saddam Hussein was no threat to our country, and if you believe he was, then head on over to your TV right now and turn on the cartoon channel, because that's your, you know, the limit of your intellect. And another disastrous effect 9/11 has been the terrible beating our economy has taken. Here we are fighting a war against terrorists with a huge army and expensive, sophisticated weapons, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, fighting these terrorists the way we're doing now is absurd. It's akin to trying to kill flies with a baseball bat. This war, it needs to be fought with covert operations and special forces, and lots of military minds have agreed, and others are starting to agree with me on that. $200 billion and no end in sight. The budget deficit is staggering, and finally some of our politicians are starting to figure out that we cannot afford to keep this up. But, sadly, in my opinion, the most disastrous result of 9/11 has been the terrible division in our own country. It's a division that was cultivated and promoted by the Bush administration, and the results are that we are more deeply divided now than any time since the Civil War, and maybe even equal to the division during the Civil War. The national unity we had on the 12th of September 2001 has been squandered. squandered by an administration made up of dangerous neocons are going to have it their way, no matter what the consequences to the people of the United States. You know, if you look over this whole situation, they've shown a willingness to deceive, to distort, and disguise the truth, all in the name of their imperialistic agenda for the ultimate prize, and you know what that is. It's power. And what comes with power is world domination and wealth. As sure as the sun will rise tomorrow somewhere on this beautiful earth, that is what this is all about. So, congratulations, Osama. 3 years after 9/11, congratulations. I despise you and everything you stand for. But I have to hand it to you. You laid a trap for America, and the Bush administration walked right into it. You're winning this war so far, Osama. The question is, will someone within our government have the wisdom to lay out a plan which will defeat Osama bin Laden? On November the 2nd, we're going to have the chance to maybe select someone who may be able to do it. The question is, will the American people have the wisdom to select the right man? We'll see. It's not that far away. That's my opinion of what went on since 9/11. I think it's been a big wake-up call. I think the world has changed in a way we'll never go back. Each generation thinks that they're the age of innocence. People like me from my age, I think the 1950s were the age of innocence, but the world's getting a whole lot more complicated. And, you know, when you stop and think about the far-reaching effects of 9/11 and probably what the goals of al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, just think of all the goals that have probably been met. They cast fear from coast to coast in this country. Here we have a presidential election right now and people being coerced into voting for one party or the other with fear. It's disgraceful that they would use fear to try and get votes in the way that Dick Cheney did this week. That statement, I see he's backed off of it now, thank God. But it's disgraceful when people do a thing like that. It really is. We're going to have Senator Bob Graham on with us a little later to talk about his new book. Always a pleasure to talk to Senator Graham. I've talked to Senator Graham before, and he's a delightful man. Always got something interesting to say, and he always has it. Always has the ability to say it in such a straightforward manner. That's one of the things I love about Bob Graham. You get the straight truth from him without a lot of politicking in the middle, and I do appreciate that very, very much. You can call us 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. And locally here, 479-5540 in Lee County. And in Collier County, 263-6570. So we'd like to have your calls. We've got a lot to talk about today. It should be a lively program. And let's go right to the phones right now. We've got Diane in North Fort Myers.
Yeah, welcome, hi, Diane. Guy. I was calling today. I'm glad you're having Bob Graham on. That's going to be such a void when he's gone. I've got postcards and letters from him myself, and I dearly love him and Adele, and I thank them for their years of service. I do want to bring up the point, though, that I think that I can't understand why the American people are not out to demand impeachment proceedings against this present president. Right now, our borders are still wide open. I can't stress, week after week I call you and stress this. We have had a floodgate of who knows how many al-Qaeda's in this country. We have not secured our chemical plants. We really do not have secure nuclear power plants. You know, we're in bad shape here. People are not waking up to the fact. It's like they're asleep waiting on the giant to come awake on them. You know, I mean, until it hits, they're not going to wake up.
I can't.
But he is supposed to defend foreign and domestic for our country here. He has failed in that miserably. Over 3 years since 9/11, and what has that man done to secure our ports, our shipping lines, our borders in this country? On that alone, he should be impeached. Not to mention Afghanistan, because when we went over there, what did he do? He went to Iraq. Well, excuse me, Afghanistan is now, it's proven that they're being ruled by the drug lords over there, the heroin is just bumper crop over there, and we're looking the other way because we don't have enough people over there to fight these people now.
Well, I hear Karzai has admitted that he negotiates with Al-Qaeda and the Taliban all the time.
Yes,
I mean, what
yes.
a sorry statement that is.
And I'll tell you, another thing on all this, people need to go, can I say it on a website? www.911inplainsight. Plain spelled P-L-A-N-E. And have an open mind and look at the truth, because the facts are on there.
Okay, well, we're going to talk to Bob Graham about 9/11 and his opinion of what went on and some of the things that should have been checked out before.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for your call, Diane.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
Tis true, there's a lot that went on that the government has kept secret from us, and some of it's starting to come out now, and we'll talk about some of that a little later with Senator Graham. It'd be good to hear exactly what he has to say about it. Hey, let's go down to Naples, Florida with Nick. Nick, welcome to the show.
Hey, Guy James. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's on your mind today?
Well, you said that President Bush had intelligence about 9/11 and did nothing, right?
Did I say that?
Well,
you're trying to lead me somewhere that I didn't necessarily set out to go. But we do know. I didn't say that today, but let's go ahead and admit his PDB that he got in August. I think it was August 10th that warned that Al-Qaeda would attack America with airplanes. I think it was a pretty good indication that, you know, things should have been tightened up a little bit at that time.
Well, in 93, the World Trade Center got bombed, and Clinton didn't do anything.
Well, he was in office three weeks at the time that got bombed. What would you expect him to do in 3 weeks? They barely moved into the White House. Listen, I'm not saying 9/11 is all Bush's fault. It's partially his fault. It's partially Clinton's fault. It's partially Bush Sr.'s fault. It's partially Ronald Reagan's fault. There's a lot of fault to pass around here. It just so happens that Bush Jr. here got quite a bit of intelligence late in the game and really didn't do anything about it. He should have. But, you know, what are you going to do? It's too late now.
At least he's fighting it in the end instead of what Clinton was doing, and he did nothing about it.
Fighting it, what has he accomplished so far?
He's bombed the hell out of Iraq.
Is that are we a lot safer now?
Yeah.
Are we?
Yes.
What makes you say that?
Well, Saddam Hussein.
What proof do you have we're safer now?
Saddam Hussein's under control.
Well, Joe Stalin's dead, but that doesn't make us any safer. So what? That's one bad guy out of the whole world. And if you think, you're not gonna go there, are you? You're not gonna connect 9/11 with Saddam Hussein. You know better than that, don't you?
Well, from what I've heard, he had something to do with it.
No, I'm afraid you heard wrong. If you can offer us a shred of proof on that, why call us back sometime? But I know you won't. Because that's simply not true. Now, that's a position that the Bush administration has also said there was no connection. But when they're out on the campaign trail, away from a lot of the press, they don't mind saying that he was involved, but they know that he wasn't. Got to move on. Thank you for your call. Going to go to, who's up next here? We got Tanya in Gainesville. Hi, Tanya.
Hey, Guy. How are you?
Up in Gator Country.
Yeah, that's right. We're kind of getting a little rain right now, but... anyways, I'm so glad to go on after that caller, because I had one word that just doesn't seem to be part of Bush's vocabulary or anyone who supports him. The one word is accountability.
Right.
That's the only word that matters. I mean, from the very first thing he said when he took office, this was in the middle of the summer of 2001, he was making a joke and he said, oh, being president is a 24/7 job, 24 days a month, 7 months a year. Well, 9/11 happened right after that. He needs to be held accountable for him. It's not a question of what Clinton did. It's not a question of what Kerry did. It's a question of what happened in the last 4 years. It's not Clinton's fault. It's not Kerry's fault. Clinton was accountable for what Clinton did. Kerry certainly is being held accountable for what Kerry did. It's a question of holding Bush accountable for what Bush is doing. And I don't understand why no one's doing that.
Well, you know one of the big problems is, Tanya, is the megaphone that we have is much smaller than theirs. They have how many talk show hosts and people on TV from the right, from solidly from the right, millions and millions and millions of listeners, and the left has barely cracked the surface on that so far.
Right.
But we're going to have to try real hard to catch up with them on that.
I really noticed it. Just a friend of mine has been switching back and forth, and the only thing that gets her back into Kerry's camp is when I say, Bush is accountable for the last 4 years. What has happened that you like? Everyone says that we're on the wrong track, and you're voting for him?
Well, no. you know, you're exactly right, Tanya, and you talk about accountability. The gentleman that called right before you did points out exactly what you're talking about. He is willing to state as fact something that he heard with the right-wing show host and so forth without doing the proper research to find out for himself that they're wrong. And there's so many of those false ideas out there that it's tough to counter them.
Yeah, I guess it is, but there's certainly so much to go by. I mean, Iraq, 9/11, Afghanistan, the economy, jobs, the deficit, Social Security, prescription drugs. I mean, there just has to be accountability. And I mean, I think it stems back to the National Guard service, where it's not so much if one memo is a certain way or another memo is a certain way. It's accountability. Bush has never had to have accountability for anything. Even with his early business dealings, he's never had to have accountability for anything. And it's just time for the American people to hold Bush responsible for what he's done over the last 4 years.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. He has never accepted responsibility for, and you're right, back through his career, his business career, he just doesn't do it, and he won't do it. You know, I think it takes a real man.
Yeah, and that's my challenge to the people out there who are listening who are Republicans. Let's hold Bush accountable, and let's have a conversation about the accountability of Bush for the last 4 years.
Well, you know, Tanya, the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
It was great talking to you guys. Thanks
for calling. I appreciate it very much. Well, let's move on. And by the way, you can call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Going to have Senator Bob Graham with us in just a few minutes. Got Ryan in Cape Coral. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Guy. How are you today?
Great.
That's good. You know, these people really, they're like that first call, that one caller about Bush isn't responsible. All he did for the first 7 months he was president was go on vacation and talk about tax cuts for the rich. That's all he did. He paid no attention to terrorism. He didn't even meet with his, Richard Clark about the warnings that were. He ignored them all. I think he met with them a few days before the 9/11 attack. But what I really wanted to talk about, Guy, was James Baker III, the big Republican operative. Does that ring a bell? I'd like to know these Republicans who are always saying about, oh, the Democrats this and about we got to support Bush that. Well, how comes James Baker III is the lawyer for the Saudi Arabian government who is, he is against the families of the 9/11 families who lost loved ones. He is fighting for the Saudi Arabian government against the families' lawsuits of the 9/11. I mean, this administration, whose side are they on anyway? I mean, you have a...
Oh, yeah. Did you see the New York Port Authority suing them now, too?
Yes. And you have someone who is defending the Saudi Arabians. You know, 17 of the 19 hijackers were Saudi Arabian. Al-Qaeda is funded by Saudi Arabia. Bin Laden is from Saudi Arabia. Then we have James. I mean, this Republican administration is treasonous. They're traitors. And those are the absolute facts. And, you know, but with Republicans, you can't talk facts because they can't deal with the truth. They can't deal with reality. And another thing about James Baker, he is also in charge of the debates,
yeah.
The Missouri debates. And guess what? The Republicans are such weak wimps. Bush is such a wimp, he can't even face the general public. The only people who Bush will face are people who have signed a loyalty oath or people who have a controlled audience. Kerry will let anyone into his campaign stops. Bush won't. Why? You know what? I'm by far and away not the smartest person in the world. But, you know, if I want somebody to be president, I want somebody at least who's smarter than what I am. I mean, did you see all the gaps that Bush makes when he speaks? When he's asked a direct question, he can't even speak. He can't even answer. He says the stupidest things. But
let's give everybody a little example of one right here. Here you go.
We got an issue in America. Too many good docs are getting out of business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their their love with women all across this country.
And he does that again and again and again.
Oh, it's amazing.
These Republicans, they're always talking about, strength. Well, they're the biggest wimps, the biggest cowards that they are. And another thing about James Baker, he was also in the Reagan administration. He was in Bush's senior administration. He's one of these states' rights guys, except during the Florida vote when Bush stole the election. Do you remember how he was the lawyer for Bush in that recount?
Well, you knew when he got involved in that Florida deal, the black hats had arrived, and we were in for trouble.
That's exactly right. And the Republicans didn't believe in states' rights when it came to voting, did they? And, I mean, really, guys, the people, how it's amazing that we can have all this misinformation and disinformation, like that one caller said about, Saddam Hussein and Iraq were behind it. There's no evidence. There's no evidence at all. And, the misinformation and disinformation, I'm hoping people are learning.
They're just willing to keep on mouthing those lies, and it's working for them. It is.
It is working for them.
Hey, Ryan, thanks. Thanks so much for your call.
You're very welcome.
Good to talk to you.
Okay, goodbye.
Going to have Senator Bob Graham with us in just a very, very few minutes. He's up in Washington right now, and we'll be getting a hold of him very, very soon. Going to be talking about his new book called Intelligence Matters, and believe me, you're gonna enjoy the interview with Senator Graham. Paul in Boynton Beach. Welcome, Paul.
How you doing?
Great.
Yeah. Well, what I wanted to say is, I look at things a little bit differently. I go back way back before, like 9/11. This thing started, all of this stuff started way back in Afghanistan, when the USSR at that time, what they were called, invaded. And guess who came in to help on, the Afghanis, and also Osama bin Laden came in there, too, at that time.
Dumped a whole pile of money in Osama bin Laden's lap during that time. We funded him to, a tune of many, many millions of dollars.
And the thing with this is that the USSR, they just left. They just said, that's it, we've had enough, and they left. Well, the thing with this is that so did the United States. We just said, the war is over or the invasion is over, and we left. If we would have only stayed there and tried to build things back up again, tried to help them build back up, but no, we left. And I'll tell you this right now, Osama bin Laden, he looked at this as a chance to get things together the way he wanted to,
we're fighting this whole thing on his terms. There's no doubt about it.
Well, he had a lot of people behind him there. Okay, the thing with it is that you take a look at the country, all the damage that was done to that country, and it still is damaged, quite damaged. Okay, you take a look at that, and you look at how the feel, and then it just kept on going from there. And then there was an attack on the World Trade Center before, and they tried to get they knew who was behind this. They had people there. They knew who it was that was behind this, and they tried to get them, but they missed them.
Well, there'd been many, many mistakes made in this whole mess, and both before and after.
The thing is that when you come to this particular time, why haven't we got the guy? The guy's still, supposedly anyway, he might very well be dead and buried. He might be, But the thing is that we don't know. And why didn't we just keep on going for him?
You have to think that the $200 billion we've spent in Iraq certainly would have captured Osama bin Laden.
Well, that's about about $232 billion now.
Yeah, well, we certainly could have had bin Laden on that. Hey, Paul, thanks for your call. Very, very good to hear from you. We'll be having Senator Graham on the line here in just a moment or two. We are going to go to John in Nashville. John, welcome to the show.
Oh, good afternoon, Guy. Nice to talk with you again. Thanks for taking my call. I just like to put this forth to you and all your audience. I'd like everybody to imagine that if when 3 years ago on September 11th, it had been President Al Gore in office, what the Republican whisper machine would have created out of that.
Oh.
If Gore's reaction had matched Bush's step for step, and I hate to think it would have, but if it had, can you imagine what the spin machine on the Republican side would have said? The things that they would have said about that.
Oh, John, you're exactly right. And if Al Gore had been our president right now, with all that has transpired, everything has transpired now. Only Al Gore, and with the Republican Congress we have, he wouldn't still be in office. They'd impeach him.
Oh, it would be a slaughter. And you know, I'm old enough to remember every presidential campaign since 1972, when Daniel Segretti and some of those folks were out there. They have been doing the dirty tricks, whisper campaigns against every Democratic presidential candidate, saying that George McGovern fathered an illegitimate child right after World War II, and getting and releasing to the public records that were supposedly confidential records of his running mate Thomas Eagleton's visits with his psychiatrist. And it has been a feature of every presidential campaign since on the Republican side, and I hope that the Democrats don't fall into it. Frankly, I don't give a damn what George Bush did or didn't do in the Air National Guard. I don't care. I don't care if he showed up, didn't show up, whatever. I mean, I've never thought much of him anyway, but my opinion wouldn't be changed either way depending on what he did or didn't do in the National Guard, and I hope our Democratic brethren don't fall into that trap. First of all, the other side's got 30-some years of history with that, and so we're way behind them in the practice of it. And plus,
they've been able to kill every messenger that has come along.
Oh yeah, and I would hate to see this party win or lose. I'd hate to see this party fall prey to the same thing. I mean, let the Republicans have it, and I'm sure there are plenty of Republicans out there who hang their head in shame when this stuff is brought to light and it can't be denied. I mean, even good people will deny things that they don't want to believe until it's proven to them beyond a shadow of a doubt. But it has been a feature. I mean, you go Willie Horton and on and on and on and on.
Oh, yeah.
And every presidential campaign since 72 has been dirty tricks, dirty tricks, dirty tricks on the Republican side. And it's sickening, it's revolting. We know it's going to be part of the next one. You take anybody in the Democratic field alongside John Kerry and put him in the position of the nominee now, and develop any scenario you want. They go to shoot any of them down. It wouldn't matter who it was.
Oh yeah, they were prepared. They had a dossier of what they were going to do to each and every one of them.
Of course. It's just, you know, Karl Rove didn't start this. Karl Rove inherited. I can't remember the gentleman's name, but the
Lee Atwater.
Lee Atwater, thank you very much. He inherited that from Lee Atwater, and Lee Atwater inherited it from Segretti and
Colson.
Colson and that gang.
Yeah.
And it's been, you know, and it's been a dynasty that's been in the wings of the Republican Party ever since.
Well, and they spent a couple hundred million dollars on Republican think tanks and so forth, smear machines to go along with it. So, you know, I give them credit. They've set up a machine that's devastating to the Democrats, and they know how to win. John, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you, guy.
Point well taken. We're still trying to get Bob Graham on the line. He'll be with us shortly. Right now, we're going to pause for a couple of words. You're listening to The Guy James Show. We'll be right back. You stay there now.
The Guy James Show.
A few gray hairs or wrinkles might bother some, but not me. When I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, I wasn't sure I'd be around for my next birthday. But thanks to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's life-saving research, survival rates have increased dramatically. My cancer's in remission. If that means more gray hairs and wrinkles, I'll take them. To help, call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. I'm Kathleen Magby Brown, and with the help of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, I'm relentless for a cure.
Now, it's time for This Billionaire Moment.
The recent handover of power back to the Iraqis has got investors worried. They ask, what about our war profiteering? Will we still be able to privatize everything in sight? Darlings, everything is under control, because everything is still under our control. Alawi has been a wonderful CIA asset for years. Ambassador John Negroponte cut his teeth working with death squads out of Honduras in the 80s, and 140,000 American troops are protecting our oil as we pump it out from under their soil. We won't let this business bonanza be ruined by the evils of accountability or democracy. So relax. We know what we're doing. I'm Zena Fogue for This Billionaire Moment.
This Billionaire Moment is brought to you by BillionairesForBush.com.
Pick up the billionaire!
If knowledge is power, then Power Talk 1200 is your source for news and information, plus today's most powerful talk program. Now, Power Talk 1200 brings you the resources of ABC News at the top of every hour, plus the recognized name in business with the CNBC report throughout your workday at 30 minutes past the hour. ABC News and CNBC Business Reports. Knowledge is power. Power Talk 1200, WPTK.
You've heard the right. Now, all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Okay, back with you here on the Guy James Show. Having trouble getting through to Mr. Senator Bob Graham. Got a busy signal. We hope he is not taking a nap and got the phone off the hook. Yeah, stranger things have happened. We'll get a hold of him soon, I'm sure. He's with family in Washington or the Northern Virginia area, and we've got a couple of numbers, so we'll get a hold of him, I'm sure. What a news week it was. Of course, today we're talking a lot about 9/11 and how the world has been forever changed from it. I don't think anybody on that day could understand how much the world would be changed by 9/11. We were too shocked to sit down and really understand the ramifications of what might happen in the future. And when you think back at what has happened in the future, we had around 3,000 people, innocent lives taken that day. And look what it's turned into. It's turned into exactly what Osama bin Laden probably wanted it to turn into, more turmoil. It's turned into the fact that the United States is hated around the world. It's turned into, in some quarters, some of the right wing would have you believe it's some kind of a holy war against all Muslims, and that's exactly what Osama bin Laden would like. And, you know, look at all the innocent people who have died away from our shores. Look at all the innocent folks that have died in Afghanistan and Iraq. Some say upwards of 30,000 altogether. That's, I tell you, it's a terrorist dream what has happened, and I don't feel any safer. I don't know if you do. I don't know how you measure that. I got to tell you, I've been one that's never sat around going, oh, my God, I'm scared, because I'm not. We'll get attacked again someday. I don't think there's any doubt about that. We cannot prevent one guy getting through somewhere, somehow. It'll happen. And I don't know if there's anything any president can do to make it 100% safe from all terrorists. But I do know, and at least in my heart, in my mind, it hasn't been a good idea to inflame the entire Muslim world against us. And I think there are many, many, many more million people, perhaps hundreds of million people, hate the United States of America than when this thing started out. We had the sympathies of people from around the globe. And now, who knows? It just appears that even in Europe, the United States is looked at as the number one threat to world peace. And that's a sad, sad statement when you talk about the United States of America, that we're looked upon in that light. Give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. You got that? And locally here, 479-5540, and in Collier County, 263-6570. A little later on in the program, we're going to talk about the better and new and improved hatred coming from the Republicans. Ooh, will you hear what we have to talk about? Some of the things that went on this week. My, they're in top form. That is a fact. So many things went on this week. We had these documents come out now about Bush's guard service, CBS being called into question now, Dan Rather being literally crucified by the right. Polls. What do you think about so many of the polls that are out right now? They run anywhere from soup to nuts, as my dad used to say. Rasmussen, which is generally acknowledged as a good poll, got Bush ahead by 1 point over Kerry, and yet Time Magazine's got him ahead by about 11. So where is this? I suspect it's somewhere in the middle of that, I'm pretty sure. We had all these memos come out. We're going to talk about that a little later in the program as well. How many of you saw this picture taken at the Republican convention? Showed the guards grabbing a girl by the hair and dragging her out of the place. Such treatment. Big burly guys having to drag a lady out, grab her by the hair and pull her out of there. You know, that's pretty sad. Pretty sad. And I don't think anybody expected people to act like that. But then again, you have to remember where they were. They were at the Republican convention. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. You're welcome to call us here today with what's on your mind. We're going to talk a lot about politics. Hopefully we won't talk about the hurricane very much because it's a couple of days away, and I certainly hope it stays out that way. We got Kenny in Fort Myers. Kenny, welcome to the show. Is Kenny with us? I don't know. Is Kenny not with us? No, I guess not. Okay. Well, I tell you, the phones are working a little funny today. Now we have Kenny with us? All right. Welcome to the show, Kenny.
Hello there. How are you?
Fine.
Guy, I'm a first-time caller and a first-time listener. I take a totally different worldview of neither Republican or Democratic. I was pretty much a lifelong Republican for a number of years, since I was 18. I'm 46 now. Did a lot of studying in the last couple of years on some issues that I believe that need to be looked at by both Democrats and Republicans. I personally feel that there are Luciferian organizations, and I'm not just talking skull and bones here. You probably heard the Tim Russert interview or watched it, both of John Kerry and President Bush, basically kind of stonewalling the issue, didn't want to talk about it. But it's not just the skull and bones. There are numerous organizations that I feel are trying to lead, this country away from constitutional form of government and toward a one-world government. The leaders on both sides have made numerous references to a new world order, and I know this may sound like a conspiracy theory like they talk about, and it may end up getting me thrown in, but what I'm saying. But basically, I think we need to look at it. There are numerous people out there that, are better men than me, have done a lot more research on it, and I think your listeners, ought to be a little more astute toward it and look at it, because it's not a conspiracy theory. Definitely, we are losing our freedoms, and the Patriot Act, I understand, by the Bush administration, has brought this on, and it's definitely not a good thing. But I think, Senator Kerry, would have some of the very same, tasks that the puppet masters would, have him do the, same thing. So I just wanted to stress those points, and really that's all I had.
Okay, Kenny. Thanks for calling.
Sure.
Right now, we're going to go to a gentleman that I've long, long, long admired. Got a new book out. And called Intelligence Matters, Senator Bob Graham. He's been governor of Florida for a couple of terms, and he's in his third term as a senator of the United States, been on the Intelligence Committee. Been a guy I admired for a long time. I last talked to Senator Graham in the Capitol building here back in January. We interviewed him there. And I admire him for his straightforwardness, and you can always take his word to the bank. Right now, Senator Bob Graham. You with us, Senator?
I am, Guy. I'm sorry we had a little bit of Alphonse Gaston in terms of telephone numbers, but we got it. Thank you.
Well, so glad to have you with us this afternoon. And I know you've been a busy guy this week. I've seen you around on several of the TV shows and radio shows around the country, both both Republican and Democratic shows. I should say conservative and liberal. As long as I have you here, let me ask you that right off the bat. I saw you on a decidedly conservative TV show this week. And I always, what prompts somebody from, you know, in your shoes to go on like a Hannity and Combs show where you know you're going to get just attacked ferociously?
Well, I think that you should be on all the shows, depending on what the point of view is. My book is about the state of the United States intelligence agencies and suggests some things we need to do to make those agencies operate at the level that our security requires. I don't think that's a Republican, Democratic, conservative, or liberal position.
Well, I agree with you that way. They just always take, you know, try to attack somebody from the opposite and, you know, make them look bad. That's just always something that, you know, your book, in a way, is frightening. I think everybody really needs to read the book, and I hope sales are real good about it. I think they will be. I just got mine yesterday and didn't have a chance to read all of it, but got rather deeply involved in it. You know, you talk about the CIA and the FBI and Saudi Arabia, and I know when the question of Saudi Arabia comes up, there's a lot of information that you've had and you've brought out in this book that really makes me cringe when I read about it, and I know the American public is suspected a lot of this. But what is the Saudi involvement in all this?
Well, in my book, one of their principal involvements was to assist two of the 19 terrorists who were living in San Diego, and that assistance took the form of finding them an apartment, allowing them to live with a Saudi agent for a period of time. They got them driver's licenses, flying lessons, a substantial amount of cash in the range of $30,000 to $40,000 over about a 10-month period, and then finally arranged for them to live in the house of a very highly respected member of the Muslim community in San Diego, a retired university professor who turned out to also have a side job as an paid FBI informant. One of these men lived with him for 4 months, and he never once reported to the FBI any suspicions about why this person was in San Diego, what he was doing, why he didn't have a job to earn some income. The reason he didn't do any of those things was because he had plenty of money coming from a Saudi Arabian source.
Well, so the FBI never, the home office at the FBI never got this information, and naturally then the intelligence committee never got it. When did you find out about this?
We found out about it in August of 2002 when, with Congressman Porter Goss, I was co-chairing a House Senate Intelligence Committee inquiry into the events of 9/11. We had some very able investigators in San Diego going over FBI and CIA records, and they came across this trail of the two terrorists who we knew had been in San Diego and their involvement with a man, and later a second man, who were described by the FBI as being Saudi agents or Saudi spies.
Well, now, Senator Graham, I know it mentioned in the book throughout 2002 that President Bush directed the FBI to limit its investigations of Saudi Arabia. Why?
I don't know, Guy, precisely, but I have three suspicions. One was it would have been very embarrassing, not only to the FBI but to the administration, to have it publicly disclosed that there was this much Saudi assistance going to two of the terrorists, and the FBI had been so blind to it. Second, there was the issue of why would the Saudis have selected these two out of the 19 al-Qaeda terrorists to give this level of support to. My answer is I don't think they were the only two, that it's more would be more likely that the one or more of the other 17 were getting assistance. And we'd ask the FBI to conduct an investigation on that subject, and frankly, the investigation was very lethargic, half-hearted, and unproductive. A third factor is the fact that there's been a long special relationship between the United States and Saudi Arabia that goes back to World War II, where we promised them to provide security if they would promise us a reliable source of petroleum. And then finally, there's also been a decades-long special relationship between the Bush family and the Saud monarchy in Saudi Arabia.
Man, I hate to think that the family relationship could come to the fore as one of the main reasons, but it does look fishy to me. And as far as the agreement after the Second World War to provide fuel or petroleum for us in exchange for protection, they're fully capable of protecting themselves right now, are they not?
Well, they are, and frankly, there's no longer any separation of petroleum. It all essentially goes into one big pot. Is refined and then distributed. So if the United States purchases about 25% of what comes out of that big pot, and whether it's Saudi or whether it is Iraqi or Nigerian or North Sea or anything, is unknown.
Are they really capable economically and with their resources of literally keeping our mouths, politicians' mouths shut, with petroleum extortion, you might say? I mean, do they really have that much of an influence on us?
I think they have a decidedly lesser influence today than they may have had 40 or 50 years ago. For one thing, they need to sell all that petroleum because they have their own internal problems. Saudi Arabia is a 16th century monarchy in the 21st century. It's suffering some very strong fractures at home, with one of the fracture lines being these extremist Islamic groups. And the policy of the monarchy has essentially been to pay them off so that they won't threaten the monarchy itself, and that has included assisting either directly or indirectly Al-Qaeda.
Do you think that the bad influence from the militant Islamists are really got a grip on the royal family? Have they got them in a position where they have to go along with them?
Well, I don't know if they have to, but they've chosen to because it's part of a larger strategy of keeping things quiet in the kingdom by paying off and placating those that might be seen as a threat to the monarchy.
This would be the Wahhabist faction that you're talking about, I'm sure.
That's one component of it.
Wow.
But it's not surprising that Osama bin Laden is a Saudi citizen. 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudi citizens. There's an organization in Saudi Arabia known as the Golden Chain, made up of some of the wealthiest people in that country and really in the world, which was instrumental in establishing Al-Qaeda and till today constitutes the largest single source of financing of Al-Qaeda.
How hard was it for you to, you knew this information was going to embarrass the administration, hopefully wake up the American citizenry as to what's going on. How hard was it to put this all down and probably embarrass some of your friends in Washington?
Well, the reason I wrote the book, Intelligence Matters, is because I thought the American people needed to know the degree to which they were at risk because of the ineptitude and secret method of operation of the CIA and the FBI, and then how that had allowed a foreign government to play such a crucial role in an event which 3 years ago today resulted in the death of over 3,000 Americans. It took me the better part of a year to write this book. I used some of the material that was developed in our joint inquiry, being very careful about classified material. Frankly, if I could have put the classified material in this book, the case against Saudi Arabia would have been much stronger.
Oh, my. So there's a lot that that's to still come out. Now, I know you're convinced that September 11th could have been avoided. How so?
Yes, in the book, I identify a dozen instances from January of 2000 until just before September the 11th when the tragedy could have been avoided if there had been appropriate action. Just to pick one example, there had been a meeting in Malaysia in early January of 2000, which has been referred to as the Summit of Terrorists. Two of the participants in that meeting were the two men who ended up in San Diego. The CIA knew about the meeting. They arranged for the Malaysian security forces to surveil the meeting. The CIA took its own pictures of the people who were there. But at the end of the day, they didn't report this back to the Immigration Service, the FBI, or any other agencies that might have been able to do something about it. And so 2 weeks later, these terrorists fly from Bangkok, Thailand, to Los Angeles and walk through the passport security, the customs, without any questions being asked because no information had been forwarded about these two individuals.
We've only got a couple of minutes left, Senator. A couple of things that we'd like to ask you. Number one, are we safer now than we were on 9/11 3 years ago?
No. And the reason we're not safer is because we have not followed a consistent plan to eradicate Al-Qaeda. In the book, I describe a meeting that I had in February of 2002 with General Tommy Franks, in which he laid out a strategy for victory in the war on terror. Unfortunately, we were distracted by the war in Iraq, which has been purported to be part of the war on terror, but in fact, none of the linkages have ever been proven to be true. So Al-Qaeda has been allowed to survive, to regroup, and is a more dangerous organization today than it was 3 years ago this day. We also have managed to irritate the allies whose support is going to be critical to winning the war on terror.
Indeed. Well, it's a deep, deep subject. One final thing before we go. We've got news coming up at the top of the hour. One of my listeners got in touch with us here by email a few moments ago and wants to ask this question. Does Senator Graham still feel that Porter Goss is a good fit for the CIA job after all we are learning about him?
Yes. His combination of he's a very smart person, a hardworking, dedicated person, those are his personal characteristics. He also spent 10 years as a clandestine agent in the CIA and now 16 years in the Congress with his primary interest being the intelligence community. So he brings both the inside and outside perspective. I think he is ideally qualified to be the next director of the CIA.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Senator Bob Graham, do want to advise all of you to get out to your local bookstore and get the new book, Intelligence Matters, the CIA, the FBI, Saudi Arabia, and the Failure of America's War on Terror, a great book that you enjoy, written by a very, very fine man and a person that we've been proud to have represent us here in Florida. Thank you, Senator.
Guy, thank you very much. And best wishes, and particularly my prayers that Ivan will find someplace else to go.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks. Senator Bob Graham. Yeah, we had to cut that short a little bit. He had another interview coming up at 4 o'clock, and we didn't get through to him as soon as we wanted to. But anyway, we're going to pause for news now at the top of the hour. I'm a little bit late on it right now. My producer's probably going to kill me. But you're listening to WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida, The Guy James Show. We'll be right back after the news.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show.
of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Hundreds of American students among those waiting for help on Grenada. I'm Deirdre Bryant.
So far, we're limited on food and water, so I'm wondering how we're all going to, you know, get by these next few days.
It's been 4 days since the island was hit by Hurricane Ivan. The death toll is up to 34, and the situation is grim.
Significant damage, much more than was originally thought. Basically, we're talking about 90% or so damage to most of the infrastructure.
Ian Logan of the International Red Cross. Ivan has just brushed Jamaica, leaving at least 5 people dead. There's widespread flooding and reports of looting. The Cayman Islands are next.
That'll be later, within the next 18 hours. Right now, the Caymans are already feeling the outer reaches of the storm, particularly on the northwest side. So, passing rain bands already, some gusty winds.
Navy meteorologist Lieutenant Dave Roberts in Miami. Cuba and the west coast of Florida also on the hit list. There were ceremonies in New York, Washington, Pennsylvania, and in cities and towns across the country marking the third anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Mary Novotny lost her son Brian in the World Trade Center and says there are scars that won't heal.
It doesn't get any easier, not for a parent, to lose a son in that manner and think about what went on in the building. You know, it's just pain. Pain won't go away for us parents. We'll never get over it.
The names of all 2,749 victims were read at Ground Zero by parents and grandparents. It took nearly 4 hours. For the first time, Britain, France, and Germany have agreed to give Iran a deadline for complying with international concerns about its nuclear program. The first U.S. military intelligence soldier has been convicted in the Abu Ghraib prison scandal. 24-year-old specialist Armin Cruz broke down in tears this morning as he admitted to abusing inmates. This is ABC News.
Make the switch to PetSmart during our Try Something New sale. You'll discover more than 6,000 pet products that you can't find at grocery or discount stores. Plus great savings on the brands you use every day, like 44-pound bags of Pedigree dog food for just $14.99. And our lowest price of the year on Purina Cat Chow, just $7.49 for the 18-pound bag. Save up to $5 on exclusive Aquascene Aquarium Starter Kits. Make the switch and shop at PetSmart during the Try Something New sale. Going on now for a limited time. While supplies last, see store for details.
Homeowners, are you tired of painting your house every few years? Then stop this endless cycle of painting forever with vinyl siding from Sears Home Services. Vinyl siding from Sears is virtually maintenance-free and never needs painting. Call now for a free in-home estimate. 1-800-225-5991. Not available in all areas. Products and services provided by a Sears authorized contractor. License number available on request. That's vinyl siding from Sears. 1-800-225-5991. 5991.
Oh, ma'am. Oh, well, you're 5. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Shoot, get away.
Play with them, dear. Hornets hate high-pitched noises. Try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
I can't see! Are they biting me?
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
God bless America. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting old. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, You've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, indeed, still here. Charlie took a swing at us, Francis took a swing at us, and now Ivan is lining up to get in line here and take a swing at us as well. We hope we're going to avoid this. Looks like that nasty hurricane might be heading out into the Gulf a little ways offshore from us, so that would be a good thing. A lot of people around here, if you've never lived in Florida during hurricane season, let me tell you, it's an unusual experience, especially this year with bang, 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 three of them coming up. There's a tension. There's a palpable tension in the air. You can see it on people's faces. You can see it in their actions. You can see it out on the highways. You can see for one thing, you can hardly buy any gasoline around here today. All the gasoline stations are out of gas. I shouldn't say all, but most. And or at least they're down to premium. That's how it goes. They sell out of the 87 octane first, and then the 89, and the 93. People filling up gas cans and whatever they can with gas for their generators at home. It's the big box hardware stores like Lowe's and Home Depot and Ace and all those, my word. You wouldn't believe the load after load after load of plywood that comes in. It's just gone. It's sucked up in a matter of minutes. Generators at any price. I saw some price gouging going on this week. Biz, you got your mic on? I know you've got a roommate that works at Home Depot. What they got to say about it this week?
Oh, she was going out of her mind. She was working last night and said that they had a shipment of plywood come in at 6:30, and it was gone by 7:30.
It was 6:30 in the evening?
In the evening.
And an hour.
There were people that had been lined up there for hours before she even was there at work, and I think she was saying she was there at like 1 or 2 in the afternoon, and these people just kind of roam around the store. The line starts to form and gets bigger and bigger
bigger.
And other than that one shipment of plywood, they're all sold out of anything that you could possibly use as hurricane preparedness. They have no flashlights, no batteries. They're running out of screws to put the plywood up with. They're out of plywood. Even like the $50-$60 a sheet plywood is gone.
Yeah, and the regular old 3/8 inch cheapo plywood is not cheap either.
Oh no.
There's no sales going on right now, folks. I saw there's a store around here. I won't name it. Biz and I talked about it before the show today, but there's this tool company that has a store around here. I won't mention their name, but I walked in there the other day. I was looking for a 5-gallon gas can.
Yeah, one of those, that's worth its weight in gold at this point.
Forget it. And so I'm hunting for this 5-gallon gas can along with the 700,000 other people looking for a 5-gallon gas can. And I go into the store, and they've got a half dozen generators, which is kind of surprising.
Very unusual.
Yeah, because last week they shipped all the generators they had out to the East Coast. And so it was unusual to see these. And these were these nice Honda quiet generators, and they're more expensive than the rest. Admittedly, they are. But the ones I looked at, I know for a fact, looking them up on the internet now, and all they normally sell for $14.95, $13.95, $14.95, 850 watt, I believe it is. They had them for $19.95, and they were getting full list price and then some, I think. But I called it into that hotline, that gouging hotline.
Good for you.
Yeah,
you should.
Yeah, and there's folks. There's no sales on anything. Groceries, they have. Supermarkets around here regularly have 2-for-1 on this. No, 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 no. There's no sales going on right now. But I will say this. Some of the grocery stores have, I suppose their insurance takes care of a lot of it. But on Charlie, for example, when the power was out for several days, they lost all of their refrigerated and frozen food. And folks, you know, in one of these big modern grocery stores, we're talking about a ton of money.
Oh, yeah. Well, last week when Francis was looming and everyone was kind of watching it, I went to Publix and I got my little hurricane preparedness refreshed kit from Charlie.
Yeah, but I know what some of your hurricane preparedness is.
Well, in a hurricane, you're allowed to eat, like, junk. But they had a lot of, like, the 2-for-1 on, like, the canned fruit.
Oh.
And, like, the little, like, kind of almost hurricane preparedness stuff. But Yeah, I eat like crap when it comes to a hurricane. I'm I'm in there with like the Pop-Tarts and
eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow, you know, the hurricane might wipe the place clean.
So. Yeah, and the way I figure it is, you're eventually going to run out of food, so you got to store enough in your body to
good thinking.
Start eating
away. I like that idea. I do.
I don't want to be like trapped under a beam somewhere and have them find me a week later, going, "Christ, she's huge."
Yeah, yeah. Well, that too. And I, of course, I'd be hate to be trapped under a beam and be mostly concerned about being hungry.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't want that. So, well, a lot of interesting. The conversation around here, folks, this week, you wouldn't believe. It's about hurricane, and more hurricane. But there's a whole lot more to talk about. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. We expect that you will call us. 263-6570 in Collier County and 479-5540 in Lee County. You know, I started on this subject last week, and I wanted to complete my thoughts about it. About the more and better hatred from the Republicans. I know I stated last week in reference to the Republican convention that the Republicans had reached a new low in their rhetoric and campaign tactics, but the records are made to be broken, and it didn't take them long to sink to an even lower level of pure, unadulterated, vicious, pathological, and I don't know whether adjectives I can use on it, hatred. It's as though they're competing amongst themselves to see who can be the most vile. And let's take a look at some of this week's Republican hate mongers and see who you think is this week's winner. First of all, we've got Dick Cheney. And he's usually at the top of my list for being a hate monger, but the guy just looks hateful. I'm sorry, but he does. Dick Cheney, and I quote, "It's absolutely essential that 8 weeks from today, on November 2nd, we make the right choice, because if we make the wrong choice, then the danger is that we'll get hit again, that we'll get hit in a way that will be devastating from the standpoint of the United States." Nice going, Dick. Why not just scare hell out of the people? You know, you read between the lines there, right? You read between the lines and see what Dick Cheney says. Vote for us or you're going to get killed. That's what he said right there. Now, I noticed after several days of taking the pulse of the American people and find out that so many people, even some Republicans, found out that that statement was particularly galling and repugnant, that he's kind of backed off of that a little bit. But, you know, this statement from the Vice President of the United States, this from a man who is the epitome of sleaze and corruption. He's despicable, and he's the last guy in the world that ought to be throwing stones. And, you know, this comment, it's a disgrace to the office he holds, and it dates me a little bit, but to all you younger folks, look it up in the encyclopedia, but I think he makes Spiro Agnew look like Mother Teresa. He really does. Next, looking at my notes of Republican hate this week, let's take a look at Rush Limbaugh. He's always at or near the top for hatefulness, and, you know, I don't know, is it just me? But I think the guy's loony as a bedbug lately. Have you noticed, you know, I tune him in now and then. I think he's acting strange a lot of time. It's either the fact that he's taken more drugs or he doesn't have any that he's off the deep end. But he doesn't sound like the old Rush Limbaugh. He sounds kind of loopy to me. See if some of you think he does. I certainly think so. But he said, and I quote, "I understand it was going to be a triple bypass, and then Clinton figured out his sympathy rating would go up to 87% with a quadruple, and then he started laughing." Oh, thanks, Rush. Thank you. And you talk about Democrats hating people, and you make a statement about that like that about the recent ex-president of the United States. This from a known, admitted drug junkie. This from a man who wanted his fix but didn't even have the courage to go buy the stuff himself. But rather, he sends a servant out to do his dirty work for him. You know, this from a man who is so loved and respected by the Republicans that the President of the United States and the Vice President both appeared on his program recently. Not the same day, different days. These people don't have any shame. I mean, this guy has been totally discredited. And here they are on his show. You know, if I were the President of the United States right now, even though he is in my party, I'd run from this guy. So, moving on, and the more and better hatred by Republicans this week, how about Mike Savage? You always got to throw Mike Savage. I mean, he's on a station right here in this building. I think Mike Savage personifies what the right is all about. You know, he cuts right straight to the chase. He doesn't fool around disguising what he's going to say. He just says it. Mike Savage, quote, Mike Savage says that Clinton would fully recover because, quote, hell was full. This is from a guy who advocates family values and preaches family values, and the Republicans preach family values. He's one of their favorite guys. Said Clinton would recover because hell was full. Now we can forgive in the Republican, in their jargon, we can forgive a drug junkie for being a drug junkie. And I admit we should forgive everybody that's been hooked on drugs. We should have compassion and forgive them. Rush Limbaugh. We should have compassion and forgive anybody who has a terrible gambling addiction, like Bill Bennett. Huh? We should forgive and go on. But, oh my God, folks, don't think about forgiving Bill Clinton for lying about sex. Don't even mention it. No. How two-faced. You know, here's another one from Michael Savage Wiener. You know, that's his last name, really, Wiener. And I quote, on September 3rd broadcast of his radio show, Savage Nation, nationally syndicated right-wing host Michael Savage spewed homophobic vitriol, stating that, quote, radical homosexuals and radical Islamists are one in the same. They're all terrorists. Ooh. Doesn't get much worse than that, does it? You know, and our local stations put this guy on the air. I would think he'd be looked upon as so vile and so offensive that he's an affront to human decency. And, of course, there's always our dearly beloved Ann Coulter. You had to know she would be in there somewhere, haven't you? And she said, I think it's unquestionable that Republicans are more likely to prevent the next attack. However, I will grant that John Kerry will improve the economy in the emergency services and body bag industry, unquote. Let me say that once again from our beloved Ann Coulter. Quote, John Kerry will improve the economy in the emergency service and body bag industry, unquote. Anybody from my day remember what the term skank means? Huh? Maybe even some of the youngsters use that name nowadays. They still use that name, Biz, do they? She says they still do. Skank. Look it up if you don't know. So there you have the choices. Who's the most hateful of them all this week? Who deserves the prize for being the lowest of the low? You know, there's lots of them vying for it over on the right. There's lots of other choices, but I singled these out as the very, very best. You know, tell me something. What high-profile Democrat, on a level of these people I just mentioned, have you heard saying anything like these statements? Come on. I mean, let's hear from my right-wing friends out there who's chomping at the bit to tell us about the so-called hate from the Democrats that they've been talking about for a couple of years now. Who knows? Maybe they'll come up with a statement by a Democrat to match these, but I really doubt it. For these people are indeed cornered political rats. They have nothing whatsoever to run on. Nothing. And so they'll continue to come up with rhetoric like this because they know that the IQ of their average follower is such that this kind of talk will really resonate with them. Their followers don't have what it takes to understand real detailed issues. So they use this kind of thing to sway the ignorant masses. They talk in simple black and white terms so their base won't be confused by the detailed information it takes to truly understand real issues, the nuance of real issues. Stay tuned, because even though I believe this is as low as they can go, they might exceed my expectations once again. They certainly did this week. They're mighty talented in the hate category. Let's go back to the phone. By the way, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. We're going to go to Ron in Lehigh. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Guy. I just want to tell you, the mailman just came, and I got the copy of... It's dated Monday's Automotive News, and the headlines... Oh, first, I want to tell you why it came late. The mailman said that they hold the mail back when they have problems here, and then she also was telling me that in Tampa, where a lot of the mail comes from, and sorted and distributed, that they're still running on generators. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, certainly.
Motors is cutting back production 7%. Ford's cutting back production 7%. Mitsubishi is going to lay off 1,200 people in Illinois. They're eliminating the whole second shift. It also says here that they're predicting lower earnings for all the Tier 1 suppliers, American Axle, Delphi, Lear, Magna, TRW, Visteon. So these are all the good jobs that Bush is promoting. They also had this week 7,000 people from Delta Airline were going to get canned because they're not making enough money. And then the thing is that the reason our car production up north is going bad is because all of our nice Republican friends, they're all driving the luxury Jap and German. The traders aren't supporting any of our American factories. And then the other thing it says also in this paper, that they're now settling with two-tier earnings. All the new people are coming in making considerably less money, and that's what the union has to take. So, you know, all the prices keep going up, but the people are going to be making less.
Oh, that's a fact. You're right on with that, Ron. And, I can't think of the government agency responsible for it, but these mass layoffs, these big number layoffs that they have, the Bush administration has done away with that agency. they've curtailed that activity of keeping track of mass layoffs. You can no longer find that in any government files.
Now,
so, you know, hide the bad news, bury it in the backyard.
That's interesting. Now, last week, Thursday, was the last time I listened to Jim Watkins. I called in on Tuesday to find out what had happened and when he was on. They put me on voicemail, and I got nobody to answer me.
Hmm.
Is he still working?
Still a program director here, but they've put on, as I understand it, Sean Hannity.
Oh, I know. That's the worst guy of the whole system.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he must make him a buck or two is all I got to say. Hey, Ron, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Do appreciate it very much. Always good to hear from Ron. Actually, that may be the first. What I meant to say is good to hear from new callers, and I think that might have been Ron's first call to the program, and I enjoy that very much. Did any of you notice how many new callers we had last week? Ooh, I like that. We've got Jolinda in California. Hi, Jolinda.
Hi, Guy. I'm an old caller. Will you still talk to me?
Well, let me think. The studio audience says yes.
Oh, yay.
Go for it.
Okay, couple of things. It's too bad old Bushy's not going to be on the ballot in Florida. You know he missed the deadline, don't you? It's in the St. Pete Times. September 1st is the deadline. So will we have Jim Baker out there with the microphone yelling, rule of law, rule of law,
can you?
Rule of law.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, we know Debbie will give him a pass.
I think so.
Otherwise, he'll get his little butt smacked from George. Did anybody watch C-SPAN this morning? They had a young guy on there talking about a program called Hope, Not Hate. And he's got a series of like town hall meetings that he's scheduled, like 15 of them, I think, over the next few months, talking about, you know, foreign policy and how it affects extremism and radicalism and all this about Islamics and Muslims and how there's good ones and bad ones. And I just couldn't help but think, while they were talking about this, about how the radical ones have taken over, the moderate ones. But, you know, if they had substituted the word Christian, it would just ring very true for our own country. I don't know how many people caught the commonality they shared. But he had a caller that called in that just cracked me up. The guy was one of these, let's just go get him. We got to get him. That's all there is to it. We just got to get him. And the guy didn't realize that, I don't know how many people know this, but there are 1.7 billion, with a B, Muslims in the world, and their religion is increasing at a rate of 2.9% per year. So the whole idea of get them and fight them over there instead of fighting them over here, it ain't going to work.
Did it occur to anybody in the right wing that maybe it might be a good idea to try and work things out? But I don't hear any of that, do you?
And instead of just incredibly pissing off all of the people, we might try to build some bridges between the moderate people and maybe get them on our side.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Jolinda. You know, you stop and think about Afghanistan and Iraq. How many average citizens of those two countries now hate the United States of America, but they didn't when they were first so-called liberated? They were on our side, but they've turned against us.
What started this young guy to get this program going, he got a master's degree from Oxford. He went over to Oxford the same week of 9/11, which brings us back to the 9/11 connection. And when he went there, he said strangers would come up to the street and embrace him and practically cry and you know, just commiserate with him about the horrible thing that had happened to the wonderful people. And he said by the time he had left there, which was a couple of years later, it was to the point where he didn't want anybody to know he was American because the tone had just changed so much.
Well, we've had a thousand soldiers lose their lives there. Imagine how would you feel with 30,000 innocent civilians dying?
Exactly.
It'd be hard to take, and you know, you can understand their ire. You really can.
I know. And then with the 911 thing today, I watched a little bit of it, but I couldn't take too much of watching that guy on TV, that Mr. George. It just occurred to me that 9/11 is his Purple Heart.
Was he there?
Oh yeah, he was.
You mean the Ground Zero thing?
No, at the White House when he was patting his wife on the behind and holding his hand over his stomach. He couldn't find his heart. Cheney wasn't there to show him where it is, but he had you know, the little grief-a-thon that they have to pretend like they're also sad. But that was the day that, you know, he got his equivalent of the Purple Heart. Up until then, he was a nothing. And instead of having it hanging around his neck like an albatross that it really is, he put it on as a badge of honor. And he's not bright enough to figure out that it's not a good thing that happened while he was in charge. But he thinks it is. So.
Well, as he said, he hit the trifecta.
Yes, he did. But anyway, that's all I needed to tell you, except keep up the good work.
Jolinda, it's good to hear from you. And hope everything's nice out in California.
Batten down the hatches.
Oh, yeah.
we had a rainstorm the other day, and I thought of you guys. It lasted about 4 minutes.
Well, that's what we usually have in the afternoon, every afternoon.
It evaporated before it hit the ground.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping for the best. Hey, thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
One of our favorite, our New York Bureau, Jeff, sent me some cartoons here over the Internet, and it's the one I like here. It shows, obviously, there's a student election in grade school, and the little kids are standing out in the hallway by the lockers, and Dick Cheney's standing there, and there's a big banner on the wall. It says, if you vote for Johnny, you'll die. And Dick says to Johnny, I couldn't have said it better myself. That's a good one. I like that. Going to go to Preston, way out in Denver. Preston, how's it going? You with us, Preston?
Yes, I am.
Yay, good to hear from you.
Hi, Guy. It's nice to speak with you. Your previous caller, was it Jolinda?
Yes.
She mentioned something. She made a lot of very great points. And she mentioned something called Hope Not Hate. I was wondering, was that a website?
I don't know. Gee whiz. If she's on the Internet on our thread we have going on there right now, maybe she can put that on there and I'll get that information out to you.
That would be great. I know there's something called Hope Magazine that's quite good, and it talks about a lot of the kind of alternative vision we could have. Your previous caller, Ron, talked about the deindustrialization going on, but I also notice a kind of reindustrialization going on. In fact, some people are calling it the next industrial revolution, and that's the development of the clean energy industry. And I think California is working to pass some legislation to build something like a million new solar homes over the next decade. And there's a lot of light rail being developed or going on ballots around the nation. There's a great labor rally just on Labor Day with Jesse Jackson and Willie Nelson and a bunch of union people talking about these sorts of issues. And instead of building, you know, more weapons and bullets and armored Humvees, we could be building solar panels and wind turbines.
Why is it you never hear any of that talk coming from people on the right? You just don't. Is it me? Or do they talk about it and we just don't hear it?
It's a problem. I think in some cases, people are worried about their industry, for instance, the oil and coal industries. And if they've got a vested interest in it, they might want to avoid the subject at times. But I think those people could be the very ones building this new infrastructure we need to develop and that we could make a lot of money from. I mean, there are books like Natural Capitalism talk about people like Ray Anderson in Georgia. He heads the largest carpet and tile factory in the world. It's called Interface, and he's cut his use of water and electricity in half, and it's made him more profits. So I think this discussion is going to expand. And could I mention one other project real quickly?
Of course.
Michael Moore, on his website, he first offers to soldiers in Iraq free copies of his DVD, Bowling for Columbine, and also his books. But he also mentioned a project called booksforsoldiers.com, where people in Iraq and Afghanistan and Kosovo, they post to this website and ask for a wide range of things. Some, you know, Tom Clancy-type novels, and others want books on how to learn guitar and on any nonfiction and books on the history of Afghanistan. And if anyone's interested, I'm sure soldiers would love to hear from the progressive community as much as they're hearing from right-wing evangelists and stuff like that. I think the progressive Christian community could reach out to soldiers in Iraq as well, and maybe to the people of Iraq as well.
Well, there certainly needs to be a bridge built there, and we're the people that are going to have to do it. That's for certain. Hey, thanks so much for your... Hey, President, let me ask you something.
Sure thing.
The senatorial race in Colorado, how's it going right now?
It's going great. In fact, I just walked by on one of Denver's main streets, Colfax, a whole, you know, several dozen Ken Salazar supporters outside of a theater. I think there was going to be some concert and fundraiser going on. And Ken Salazar has a lot of fans in this state, and the Hispanic community is very much behind him. They kind of tried to attack him for being pro-choice, but and he's Catholic. But interestingly enough, I read that it's the policies of Democrats of supporting sex education and providing access to birth control and not shaming single mothers actually leads to a drop in abortion rates. So if people, you know, want to see fewer abortions, I think the Democratic Party is the one they should be supporting.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, hey, thanks so much for calling, Preston. Good to hear from you. Keep track of that senatorial race for us and give us a call again. It's good to hear from somebody out there that knows.
Okay, I'll do that, Guy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Peace.
We're busy looking for that hope, not hate thing, and Yolinda sent an email here, or a post on the thread we have going on democraticunderground.com. Says C-SPAN should have it. I'll look. So maybe we'll hear further from her on that. Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. All of you folks on the phone, just hang on there. We'll be right back with you. We're going to talk about these documents, I promise. And that little campaign is going on. Oh, don't you love it? We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to The Guy James Show, WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida. You be here when we come back.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
You've probably heard it before. After the end of a relationship or marriage, a kindly friend or relative will offer those famous words of support. There are plenty of fish in the sea. Well, that kindly friend or relative is wrong, dead wrong. And not because you're hideous and undesirable, but because the fact is, many fish are declining in number. Now, here's the part where you might ask, what can I do? Well, I'll tell you. On your next date, if you're going out for a nice meal or cooking a romantic dinner at home, be sure to choose fish that are plentiful or caught in an environmentally friendly way. That way, you'll help keep the oceans healthy and full of fish, and you'll look like a sensitive, caring person to whomever you're with. Now, that's sure to score you some major points. To find out how to make the right seafood choices and help protect our oceans, and for other easy tips on how to protect our world, log on to getgreen.com. It's easy to do, and let's be honest, now that you're single and lonely, you've got the time. That's getgreen.com. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
Hey, what does this word make you think of? Tchaikovsky.
Isn't it? So what's the word?
No, that is the word.
You lost me.
All right, who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Maybe they're not getting enough art. Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music and Martha Graham's dance. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Now, it's time for This Billionaire Moment.
Critics say that when we consolidate the media into fewer and fewer hands, it threatens diversity. Nothing could be further from the truth. Every demographic has different consuming habits. With 500 channels, we'll have one shopping network for Elvis memorabilia and another for the dogs playing poker crowd. Something for everyone. In this spirit, we billionaires are buying up the airwaves. If you're on a road trip from Kennebunkport to Crawford, you can tune into Rush the whole trip down. Just think, the same country and soft rock stations everywhere you go. And what we leave off the dial, you're better off without, really. Aren't you glad someone's protecting you from polka music? You're welcome. I'm Xenophobe for This Billionaire Moment.
This Billionaire Moment is brought to you by BillionairesForBush.com.
Pick up the billionaire!
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Oh, my. I'm just reading the screen here, and my producer, Biz, sends me a little note over here, and it says, Ivan the Terrible, who's that little storm we've been talking about, is a strong Category 5 now, and there's a new front coming in to push Ivan to the east. Now, Biz, that's something I didn't necessarily need to hear. That's something none of us wanted to hear. So, ooh, yeah. And, Biz said the cutest thing a while ago. Our studio audience is finally here. Biz was we were talking about the storm during the break, and she said, I said, how would you like to be in the Keys during a Category 5? I personally can't imagine it because it's just a little strip of land through there. I mean, you won't walk from one side to the other, most of these islands, in about 46 seconds. But, Biz says, well, I wouldn't want to live there either. She said, it's like a welcoming center for all the hurricanes. And I agree. Did you know there was a hurricane here? You know, I know you folks that don't live here. But imagine this. I was reading a story the other day. They had a horrible, horrible hurricane here in 1935. That was before they named them. But back in 1935, and it was so strong. If you can imagine this, there was this, now I can't think of the name of it. Gentleman that settled helped develop it so much of the East, Flagler, so much of the East Coast. He built a railroad all the way down the Keys, and the wind was so strong during that hurricane of 1935 that it blew a local locomotive, you know the size of those big old locomotives, it blew it off the tracks. Can you imagine that? I mean, I can't imagine that. But, Biz, that's a good one. Welcome Center for the Hurricanes, the Florida Keys. I heartily agree. We're going to talk about Dan Rather coming up right here, and I can't think of anybody better to talk about Dan Rather than Amanda up in Georgia. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Guy. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
I'm looking at some documents. I have quite a few documents from quite a few veterans. And guess what? It looks to me like they're all used with this electric.
Liar.
Yeah, really.
Liar.
I'm partisan. Yeah. I'm looking at the original DD-214, some from 70, some from 68, some from 69. Looks like the same type to me. And I can assure you, these are not photocopies. Of course, I know they had to use them on the Dan Rather show. And I saw a poster on DU make the statement that it was commonplace even in Vietnam that they had the access to a Selectric typewriter.
Well, you know,
I've been typing since 1966.
Me too. In fact,
I was a secretary for 20 years.
I was the guy typist in a whole class full of girls. And by the way, I held my own and still do. But typing. Anyway, when you look at the logic of this whole situation, there's one thing that just stood out to me right off the bat when they start saying these documents were forgeries. If you were going to forge a copy of these typewritten things, wouldn't you look up one of these old Select typewriters from that area? And there's plenty of them still around.
Sure there are.
Wouldn't you do it with that instead of trying to forge it? I mean, it makes no sense.
Well, even his military records that did come, that what Dewey had to show, that came down from the White House, the type thing. Now, here's an answer. Bring up your DD-214, George. Okay? Bring it up.
You know all these terms. What is that?
Oh, he's he's lying. I mean, he's just flat lying. He's covering. It's duck and cover. And, I mean, you know that Dan Rather would not put his credibility, which I think is very noble for journalism nowadays, and all of this on the line unless they knew that they had the real thing there.
Oh, they've got them dead to rights on this. You know they do. I mean, you wouldn't, somebody like Rather wouldn't take a chance.
No. The man's been in the business too long. He had brought out I heard the clip of the one guy who said, I had nothing to gain by coming out here and saying even to the signature was correct. The family, I have an answer for the family, they come out and they say, well, it wasn't like my dad or so-and-so to keep these kind of documents around. Well, maybe they didn't get them at his house. He's not going to reveal his sources. And here we've got Bob Novak saying, reveal your sources. Why, Bob? Why don't you reveal yours?
Yeah, Bob, he's the last one that ought to be saying that. And let's face it, the family, no matter how well-intentioned, were they at the office every day with this guy?
Yeah,
that's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, somebody probably got to them. But the thing about it is, they can't handle anything that even resembles the truth or accountability.
Liar! It's just so easy to scream, liar!
You're a liar, and you're a traitor, and you're not patriotic. And, it's amazing to me because if I have seen 1DD214, I have probably seen 50. And looks to me like, and as far as the TH, I know for a fact they were using them in 1966. I took typing.
They did have it. They did have the superscript They did have the Times New Roman available clear back since 1931.
Well, that was the only thing I ever used was the Times New, and that's the only thing I still use even on a computer is the Times New Roman because I was so used to it from 1966. I don't adjust to change real well. That's the reason I'm having a real hard time with this administration. They've changed everything.
So an acquaintance of mine sends me an email today. Copy of an email. There's a group on the internet. A lot of you know what I'm talking about. Freepers. There's an internet site called I think it's called DefeatJohnJohn.com, and they're offering $17,000 if you can imagine some of these freepers even raising $17,000. But they said they've raised $17,000 to give to anybody who can prove that these documents are not forged. So he sends them an email and says, I'll have to paraphrase it now because I don't have it with me, but dear sirs, I'll be glad to take you up on your challenge. I'm an expert in the field of these of the print industry, and if you will come up with the $17,000 in cash, give it to somebody, a third party who we mutually agree upon, and then we'll do this. I'll do this recreation of these documents for you in person in front of media. We'll have CBS there, some other media, and we'll have nonpartisan judges to judge if it's... And he said he hadn't heard back from him yet.
Well, they've had that bounty in Alabama for some time. Nobody stepped forward. It's just the point of credibility and the point of character. People say, well, nobody cares what happened 35 years ago. Yeah, they do when it comes to character. When you stand there and you say you're the war president and you created the war and then you ducked out on your physical and you couldn't take an order, but you could sure give them and send 1,000 people to their death, and then you've got all of this hate. And I'm going to tell you something. I think Bush is, a lot of people say Bush is a, divider instead of a uniter, and we all know that. He's went beyond the limits of that because the people who were suppressing some of this, and maybe some of it was even going away under different administrations, even under Bush 1 or Reagan or anybody. This isn't necessarily a partisan issue. He is stirring something up in these people that's scary.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they are coming out with some feelings that is more than divisive. It's downright scary. It's like people are getting so bold, like jerking that girl's hair, like causing people to just really, really fight. Just fight. Just physically fight. But
I know a guy. I know a guy real well. One of the nicest people you ever want to meet in your life. Until you bring us up. Until you bring up George W. Bush, and his fangs come out. He morphs into a completely different individual.
Really?
You wouldn't even know him.
Yeah, this is true, and I think this has to be dealt with on another level as well. When you go back to your compassionate conservatism and your God thing, you know, I don't know how many people out there are Christians. It's not for me, you know. I think we should be tolerant of all religions. There are over 200 in America.
Yeah.
But the one thing, and I've said it on this program before, and for all the people out there who are on the religious right who have the nerve to listen to the Guy James Show, the one thing that God hates the most is divisiveness among the people. That's plain and simple. It's in the Bible. It's called division among the brethren. Trouble among the brethren.
Let's face it, there's animals that get along better than we do.
Absolutely. And so, discord among the brethren is the exact quote. And, you know, that if you are, quote, a Christian, then you should say, look, the honorable thing would be to do, to me, in my opinion, is to do what Lyndon Johnson did, that I will not accept the presidency of the United States because I love my country more than I love my position.
You bet. I go along with
to
that.
To me, that would be the only honorable thing that I would have seen this president.
It's the only way out for that now. So, Amanda, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
I appreciate hearing from you.
I appreciate you, Guy. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
For those of you let me see here. Joe Linda, I think, was talking about this, and one of our callers, maybe it was Preston out in Colorado, I'm not sure which one, but they wanted a website about this hate. I'm trying to think what it was. Hope instead of hate. Here's the website, www.aidemocracy.org/events. So take a look on there. It's on C-SPAN, too. So thanks so much for Jolinda from sending that in. Hey, I'm going to go to who I think is probably one of our favorite people here right now, if it's her. Martha, is that you?
Hello.
Hello.
No, it's your long-lost friend from Bonita Springs.
Well, I knew that. I was hoping it was. How are you, Martha?
Hey, I'm doing really good. I'm calling you from my fortress.
You got
all the windows boarded up, getting the front door boarded up, getting ready to rock here.
Oh, yeah.
The closet cleaned out so we can sit in there with the birds and the dog. And
have you got a generator?
Yeah, we do.
Good.
Heck yeah. We got that, the fifth day when we were out of electricity with Charlie, and the sixth day the electric went on.
For everybody in the area listening right now, if your power goes out, we're going to give Martha's address out here in just a moment. We'll all meet at her time. Now, I can't guarantee you that there'll be room for everybody, but I will guarantee you this. Everybody that does show up, they'll have a real good time.
Yeah, we'll have a real good time making a big pot of chili. And,
yeah.
You know, right? Listen, I'm calling, you know, you're a guest. Thank God you had Senator Graham on. That was terrific.
I know he's one of your favorite people. And mine, too.
Yeah, he's smart and he's got courage. And I want to thank you for your courage for restoring liberal media. It's about time.
We're trying.
Yeah, well, you're doing it. And folks, send a little donation to my buddy Guy here. Guy, I was just driving home from trying to find one of those solar cranked radios, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I can't find them. I think they were so lousy they took them off the market.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I got myself a little $5 AM/FM radio. Works like a gem. Put batteries in it. On my way home, up from Naples, coming on up to Bonita Springs, this guy was driving alongside of me and talking about bullies, you know, Republicans being bullies. This guy made a hand gesture at me and with his boat on a trailer tried to run me off the road.
Hmm.
And I just thought,
you are easily identified as a Democrat.
Well, yeah, because I have Kerry stickers on the, you know, vote for truth for a change, you know, vote for Kerry. And Carrie Edwards bumper sticker on the back there. And, you know, I just thought, you know, and then last week, I'm in the middle of everybody being really tense. I understand people around here are real tense, you know. And, you know, the election brings out feelings, too, for people. But last week, you know, somebody rolled his window down and made some derogatory comments, and, you know, him and his friend were sitting there laughing, and I thought, no, I'd never do this to people.
Do you even know anybody that would do that? I don't. I swear I don't.
You know, I had some young, but it's schoolyard bully stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes courage to stand up to this kind of immaturity, because on the part of even our administration, you know, you've had a couple of guests who are talking about accountability. When you're a little kid and you're being a brat, and you're like, no, I didn't do that, you know, and you know, you don't want to get in trouble because you don't want to get a spanking or you don't want to have time out or whatever, you tell a fib. I didn't, but, you know.
Well, I didn't either, but.
I'm like, no, my brother always told on me anyhow. I'd never get away with anything. But, you know, this fellow we have in the White House and a few of the people who he has around him, like Cheney, has he ever been accountable? No. You know, the guy's never really had a job outside of government that wasn't given to him. Oh, Halliburton, he was CEO, but he only got that because he was the Secretary of Defense under Papa Bush. You know, so
right.
These people have never really had a life of their own that they've had to be accountable for.
And I hope to find my notes here while, you know, how they've been pounding on Kerry about his so-called, in their opinion, lack of support of our military.
What was the POW/MIA work that he did during the 80s?
Well, I want to find, I've got some notes around here about Dick Cheney actually out on the stump talking about Kerry's not voting for this and not voting for that.
Either.
And Cheney himself was the one that he recommended a lot of them, a lot of the cuts, and bragged about it.
Right. Well, you know, you can cherry pick anything and make anybody's record look like anything. But it's the spirit of what they're doing is so disingenuous, and I don't think these people are Americans. Sorry. If they're backing up the Saudi family like Bob Graham, Senator Graham was talking about, if they're exporting jobs, these cheap labor conservatives don't give a damn about the American worker. Have they even suggested in the last 4 years that we have a minimum wage increase?
No.
No. Sorry.
No. It would never cross their mind. No.
And I think this is something that Kerry really has to pound on. You know, you can give tax cuts to the middle class. That's fine. But for every 20 guys in the middle class, there's a working class guy who's trying to make, or gal, mom or dad or a single person, trying to make it but paying, if you're lucky enough to have health insurance or homeowner's insurance. I just got homeowner's insurance on Friday.
Oh, lucky you.
I just wrote out two storms of homeowner's insurance. I said, is this going to happen again? But if he says, hey, we want to have a minimum wage increase and we're going to fight for you, I think you get 20 to 1 voting for Kerry. And really just pound on this idea of, you know, we're really out here hurting. The fellow who called in from Lehigh, Ron, talking about all these job cuts that are going on in our best jobs, traditionally the best jobs in the country for blue-collar workers, they're just vaporizing.
Right. I certainly agree. They really are.
But the bullies in the schoolyard are going, na, 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 you know, is two, you know.
Yeah.
Playing games and then puffing their chest out at you and intimidating people. And when, you know, the kids are, there's some bully in the schoolyard, kids are afraid.
Well, you know, Martha, even at my age, and I know you're a lady, and you act like a lady, and you look like a lady, and all that. So, you know, here a while back, I've got two stickers on the back of my car. One a Kerry Edwards sticker, and the other one, the other one I got from you at our Christmas get together, Republican. And now I get a lot of smiles for the Republican. Even some Republicans have liked that one. But about 3 or 4 weeks ago, some guy pulled up beside me in Fort Myers and made a derogatory remark. Actually, give me the roll your window down sign, which I did. And he made a derogatory remark about my sticker and then about me. And I don't know. I'm just not this guy that can take that. I'm just not. And so I got out of my car. I got out of my car, walked around front, and man, oh, man, that window was up so fast, and he locked the door on his car. it was actually funny. That's how I like to confront people like that, although it's not always a good idea, because one of these nuts that acts like that is liable to pull out one of those assault guns they like so much, you know?
Oh, well, isn't that going to be, you know, the assault weapons ban is going to expire, what, Monday?
Yeah. And terrorists, come to the United States. You can get all the damn assault weapons you want.
Listen, I love General Clark's remark to this about the Second Amendment. He said, look, y'all want to have your guns, y'all want to fire your weapons, join the Army. We have got plenty of guns. We got, you know,
exactly
we'll send
right.
you to Iraq. You want
betcha.
To talk big, you want to be a big guy, come on. And we've made that marker of 1,000 people killed in Iraq, and it just breaks my heart because it's so unnecessary. We're going to create a monster. You know, Saddam Hussein was a monster. But we don't know the monster that's going to be created from this. We're going to have a destabilized country with somebody who, you know...
Oh, exactly right. We've done that so many times around the world. You know, look what we did in Iran. we got the double whammy there. Martha, thanks so much for calling.
Hey, you stay safe, all right?
Good to hear from you.
Hello,
and
chili.
Oh yeah, I like a chili. Now you're not putting a turkey in a chili, right?
No, it's going to be vegetarian.
Well, all right, I can go for that.
All right.
Take care.
Be good, hon.
Bye bye.
Bye bye, guy.
Oh, there's one of the nicest people in the whole wide world. I wish I'd had more time to talk to her because she was a delegate to the convention. And I know she's got a lot of good convention stories to tell. Although the Democratic convention was a lot more quiet and subdued than the Republican convention. I guess they don't know how to hate as well. They really don't. By the way, you can call us 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. All of you are on the phone right now. Hang on till after the news because I don't want to cut you short. We only got a minute at the top of the hour and have to stop at the 5 o'clock news right on the hour. Maybe we'll hear some update about that storm. But when we come back, we're going to talk some more about these Cheney cuts. You know, he's out blasting Kerry. Oh, he cut the military and he cut this and he cut that. You know, as George W. Bush's vice president, Cheney has successfully portrayed himself as some kind of a hawkish foreign policy expert. But based on his statements he'd made, one might believe Cheney's, he's got an unrivaled record supporting massive spending on defense, intelligence, counterterrorism. That's what they want you to think. But when we come back from the top of the hour, we're going to talk about how that's not exactly true. And they're just his talking about Kerry's cuts and defense couldn't be more disingenuous after Dick Cheney himself voted for many of these things and even started the ball rolling on him back when he was defense secretary. We're going to go through that a little bit. It's amazing how this guy talks out of both sides of his mouth. Well, actually, just one side of the mouth. He talks. Why does he talk like it? He talks out of the side of his mouth all the time. Anyway, we're going to be back. You're listening to the Guy James Show, 1200 WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida. You stay tuned. If you're on the phone, hang in there. We'll be right back with you after the news.
The Guy James Show. Top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Ivan, again a Category 5. I'm Deirdre Bryant. The hurricane now barreling toward the Cayman Islands after leaving at least 50 people dead across the Caribbean. Ivan has just moved away from Jamaica. At least 5 people have been killed there, and they're just getting a look at the damage.
There is some structural damage, major in some places, and we're heading out to the shanty towns to where the buildings are constructed of less secure material, out of wood and corrugated zinc. And it's expected that those are the houses that will have been the most vulnerable. But people are out on about on the streets in a few numbers. Every now and again, we get a huge gust of wind and another sort of weather system goes through.
The BBC's Ian Pinnell. Ivan now has winds of 165 miles an hour. It's expected to reach the Cayman Islands tomorrow, then on to Cuba and possibly the west coast of Florida. At Ground Zero this morning,
Carlton W. Bartels.
It took nearly 4 hours to read the names of the 2,749 people who died in the World Trade Center attacks 3 years ago today. At Arlington National Cemetery, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld spoke at a service for the 184 victims of the attack on the Pentagon.
The wound that was opened 3 years ago will always be with us. We know that. Yet our grief has found its purpose. September 11th was a call to arms.
In Shanksville, Pennsylvania, a tribute to the 40 passengers and crew members who died on United Flight 93.
A number of the speakers focused on the inspiration and the heroism shown by the people on board Flight 93. One of them saying, "The story stands as a beacon of light on one of America's darkest days."
ABC's Barbara Pinto. Dozens of high school students have pleaded no contest to drinking underage at a post-football bash at a teacher's home in Texas. Police say they're now going after the adults. This is ABC News.
All right, people, we need new computers, and they're pretty expensive, so we're cutting back. If you have to travel overnight, try sleeping in a park. Think of it as a business adventure. Next Office Supplies. Instead of using tape or glue, see if anyone's chewing gum. And yes, we're cutting toilet paper.
Looking for an easier way to afford the latest technology?
Sir, why aren't we just getting a Dell?
At DellRadio.com, you'll find great deals on PCs for your small business. Get everything from notebooks and servers to printers and PDAs to complement your PC purchase. Everything you need in one place.
Water, however, will still be available for a nominal fee.
Right now at DellRadio.com, you can get a Dell Dimension desktop with an Intel Pentium 4 processor for just $399 after a $50 instant discount. Monitor not included, taxes extra. Order select systems today and get double the memory for free and save up to $150. DellRadio.com. Just one more thing that's easy as Dell. Dell systems use Intel Pentium 4 processors.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's my report card, Mom and Dad.
The report card your child brings home isn't the only one that counts. The school also has to meet certain standards. The No Child Left Behind law says if your child's school isn't meeting academic goals, you can transfer your child to another school or get free tutoring and other extra help. Now you can find out how your child's school is doing. It's your child. It's your right. Call 1-800-USA-LEARN. A message from the U.S. Department of Education.
14 million. Who will give me 14? I have 14 million. Do I hear 15?
15.
16. There to you, sir.
Political power doesn't come cheap in America.
Sold for $22 million. Another rollback in air quality regulations.
George Bush understands that money equals power. His campaign spent nearly $50 million this March alone. That's a record.
Next on the block, the First Amendment. Who will give me 1 million?
Just because it's a democracy doesn't mean it's free. How much is your vote worth?
Easily paid for by BillionairesForBush.com.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. James Show, America's number one democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, we are still here. We haven't bailed out. We haven't evacuated. We haven't run for the hills. You'd be surprised how many people got in their cars yesterday and today and gone to the airport and whatever and gotten the hell out of Dodge because they're afraid of this storm that's coming. I plan on staying. My bride and I are going to ride the storm out. Well, we've got a pretty solid house and all. Biz, did you get an update during the news about what's happening with Ivan the Terrible?
No, I didn't get a chance to. The most recent update just came out, so they're not posting it yet. But we'll be working on that in the next few minutes here, and I'll keep you up to date.
Okay, let me know so I know whether to stop and buy some rope or not.
What do you need rope for?
To tie myself to the nearest tree so I don't go anyplace when it comes in. I guess people have tried that before. But as you can see during Charlie, it might not be a good idea to be tied to a tree because the tree and all.
The tree goes with you.
People don't understand that. All you folks from up north, and I'm originally from up north, you know, you got your big old oak and maple trees that got roots deep, deep, deep into the ground. Well, here, the trees, they go laterally, the roots do, and the slightest wind comes along and ow, they're gone, you know.
Well, that and it seems like 90% of the trees around here are palm trees, and those roots are like 2 inches.
Oh, yeah. So. And they just come along and they pick them up and put them back in the ground and hope they'll grow again. Usually they do.
Stake them down, come back in a month or so.
Well, you know, all these people living in the other 49 states, they don't care about this. So, well, some of them, the nice ones, they do. They care what happens to. But Biz and I will try and be here next week.
I'll be here. I need the money.
All right. Yeah, we'll be here. Good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, as they say. You can call us 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. And we've got Vince on the line, and Vince has got an interesting question for us. Hi, Vince.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
You mentioned earlier about Michael Savage.
Good old Michael Savage.
Radical homosexuals with radical Islamists.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know a lot of homosexuals, and I don't know what qualifies one as being radical.
I kind of wondered about that myself.
You know, what constitutes a radical homosexual?
He equated radical homosexuals with radical Islamists. I don't know. I've got some gay friends, and they don't walk around with AK-47s and all that. I just don't know where he's coming from. You know, I've gotten to the point, Vince, and I don't know if you ever have listened to Mike Savage very much, and I don't very much because that kind of thing will rot your brain. But I don't really take him serious most of the time. I think he's just, I think he just plays for the audience, don't you?
The few times that I've listened to him, he really doesn't even take serious the callers.
Yeah.
You know, it's just an opportunity for him to say what he wants to say all over again, and even when people bring up legitimate points, you know, he didn't listen to him. And
I heard him say on a teaser they used here to promote his show, it's my show and I'll do the insulting, thank you.
Yes.
He says, that's what I enjoy.
You know, the only thing I can see in the homosexual movement of today is equal rights and fair treatment under the law. And Islam is definitely not for equal rights and fair treatment under the law. I mean, you know, I think that the two are opposed. And, you know, personally, I take offense that someone would do that, but then I consider the source.
Well, only Savage, I think, was. I don't think even Dick Cheney would say something like that. I really don't.
That takes some nerve. But anyway, something to think about.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vince. Thanks for calling. Do appreciate hearing from you. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. And in Lee County, Florida, 479-5540. Our phones are still up and working. 263-6570 if you'd like to call from Collier County. You know, I mentioned we were going to talk about this for a little bit. Dick Cheney's gone around accusing John Kerry of cutting damn near everything out of the military, making him sound like he's just destroyed the military single-handedly. That dirty, rotten John Kerry, he's done this all by himself. You know, he accuses Kerry of calling for major reductions or outright cancellations of some of our most important weapon system. And he's attacking Kerry for voting against 13 weapon systems for our troops over 20 years. And it was Cheney who really gloated that he'd put an end to more than 100 systems. You hear him say that? Kerry had put an end to more than 100 military systems in less than 3 years. In 1991, Cheney bragged to the Washington Post that he, Dick Cheney, was setting an all-time record as defense secretary for canceling or stopping productions of weapons and equipment. This is Dick Cheney. Cheney put forth the proposals to cut the B-2 bomber program. Cheney put forth the program to cancel the AH-64 Apache helicopter. Both of these are items that he's cutting down Kerry for. You know, Cheney slams Kerry's vote on the F-14 aircraft in October of 1990. That's when Kerry voted against that. According to the Washington Post, Cheney asked Congress to kill the F-14 in 1991 and had been skeptical of a proposal to continue production of the plane as early as 1990. Over and over and over again, at one point, Cheney told the Post that he'd terminated the F-14, the F-15, F-16 fighters, the A-6, the A-12, the P-3 Navy and Marine planes, and the Army's Apache helicopter, and the M-1A1 tank. Five of these weapon systems are listed by the Bush administration campaign in its attempt to chastise Kerry for his anti-defense vote. Cheney was so successful at cutting weapons that the Boston Globe worried the Army's cupboard is left bare. That's when Cheney left as the Secretary of Defense. So it is laughable, absolutely laughable. But, when it comes down to it, why not? Why not have Cheney get up and say things like that when he knows that most of his electorate is not smart enough to understand the nuance of it? And, all he has to do is say it and say it enough. And people, that's right. That's right. By God, that Cheney says it's right, so it must be true. He knows that most people won't get up or off their hind end and go do some research and find out that it was Dick Cheney that suggested many of these. He knows that. He knows what he's dealing with. He plays to the ignorance of the people. He most certainly does. Going to go to Joanne in Naples. Hi, Joanne.
Hi there. Thank you so much, and it's so refreshing to hear what you have to say.
Well, thank you.
I really appreciate that. You know, I research everything. I read everything on the Democrats, everything on the Republicans, and a lot of people don't have the time or energy or interest, and like you said, they play to the ignorance. And you know, you just wonder, an administration who looks down upon people, who lies to us, you know, look at what they're doing to Kerry. If they do it to Kerry, they're going to do it to us, too. And yet people don't see it. You know, the polls have changed in Bush's face. They played dirty, and it worked. And I love your show. It's wonderful that you're speaking honestly. So I just wanted to comment on that.
Well, you know, Joanne, it's a sad comment when you can watch what went on at the Republican convention, and especially that horrible, hate-filled speech of Zell Miller.
Yes, yes.
And understand that that speech could sway the minds of a lot of people listening. And I find that literally astonishing. I do.
Yes, and it scares me that they realize that there are people who will play into it, and it really, really frightens me. I'm from New York. I'm relocated here. I'm a homestead. I'm a clinical social worker. And I just wish that I had the chance to get on the phone with people and educate them. Life can be different if we go Democrat this time. Life can be different. So thank you again for your show.
Thank you, Joanne. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
To give you an example of some of the weak-mindedness that they actually depend upon. Let me play you a little something here. Do you remember that crazy Zell Miller getting up giving that speech about this Marine, and occupiers? You remember that? You remember that, how he was chastising the people for saying that we are occupiers? Listen to this.
Motivated more by partisan politics than by national security, today's Democratic leaders see America as an occupier, not a liberator. And nothing makes this Marine madder than someone calling American troops occupiers rather than liberators.
So they're not happy they're occupied. I wouldn't be happy if I were occupied either.
Yeah, nothing makes this Marine madder than having to call the occupiers. And here you got the dunce in chief actually calling us occupiers because he knows damn well that's what we are. Why can't you just say it? Why can't you just say it? This man who said he wouldn't do any nation building when he ran for office in 2000, why can't he be upfront with people? And I'm not just indicting him. I'm indicting all politicians when it comes to that. Why can't you just talk like Senator Bob Graham did earlier when we had him on the show today? Just say what's on your mind. Just say it like it is. Don't candy coat it. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't do all those little cliches that you come up with. Just tell the American people what they need to know, what they should know. Why can't you do that? Why? I mean, if we're occupying a country, we're occupying a country. Why try and make it sound like, you know, as the old saying, make a silk purse out of a sow's ear? Why do that? You know, don't you, as one of the nation's leaders, owe the truth to the people that put you in office? And I'm not just talking about Democrats. You're lying to your own people. You're lying to the Republicans as well. They're just one trouble. People on that side of the aisle believe you. People on this side don't. I just don't know why you would discredit yourself over and over and over again by lying about these things. I really, really don't get it. You know, they would probably hate me as the President of the United States because, as you know, we deal in plain talk on this program, and that's just the way I would talk to people, and I wouldn't give a damn one way or another. Here is the truth, unvarnished, and I don't care whether you like it or not. It is the truth. Somebody needs to talk that way. Okay, we're going to go to Dave in California. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Guy. In response to what you're putting out right there, it's been my observation there are several different types of Republicans. At the very top, though, there is a group that has conspired to take over the White House, the Congress, and with a deliberate purpose in mind to steal as much of the wealth of the world as they can, direct the unions to keep a big supply of low-paid labor fighting with each other, to make the Halliburtons zillionaires and to turn the country into paupers. Now, other Republicans are those that are just programmed by Fox News or who need to be identified with the party that's most anti-gay. But the reason I had called you, polls this year, this week, opinions of the people of the rest of the world. If Kerry were running for president of the world, he'd be winning by a margin of 5-1. The rest of the world seems far more knowledgeable, far more informed.
And you know, the Republicans will come right out and tell you. Those that are being truthful, we don't give a damn what the rest of the world thinks. We don't care. They've showed no inkling whatsoever that they care anything what the rest of the world thinks.
Well, I'm thinking that we share a lot of the opinions of the world. I think that in America, it's very easy with our Patriot Act powers to rig polls, rig votes, enter computers of any kind, and have them come out saying whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was listening on the Washington Journal, and they're asked, why are you always going Republican, Democrat, other, Republican, Democrat, other? And he said, because if we just took the calls as they came in, there would be 15-1 favoring the Democrats.
Really?
Yeah.
15-1. Well, regardless of what people say, I don't think there's any question but what Democrats outnumber Republicans. We showed that during the last general election. We've just got to get a little unity going in the party and, you know, set out to do what it takes to get these people out of office. We have to get unified. And that's, you know, as you know, that's one of the big problems with the Democratic Party. Too many factions off here and there, but this time we're going to have to let all that go and get together as a unit.
The corporatists at the top that stole this election and put their people in power with the purpose of stealing the wealth of the world, they're not going to give it up easily. They will rig everything they can, twist, distort, misrepresent, and if necessary, to steal, re-rig the votes. So.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Dave, thanks for calling.
All right.
Good to hear from folks out in good old California. Let's see. Where are we at here? Let's go to Craig in Fort Myers. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Guy. How are you today?
Great.
Thanks for taking my call. I was actually chatting with your screener briefly while she was fielding some information, and I was a little confused because I found kind of some of the remarks from the callers into the show to be kind of comical, sadly enough, though. And one of the things I was hoping to find out from you guys, or at least from you, why I know Kerry had you know, served our country honorably and all that good stuff. Why isn't he running on his record in the Senate?
I don't understand what you mean. He's told everybody all about his record in the Senate.
I mean, being here in Florida, we've witnessed, you know, ads and things like that. And it was my understanding that that the DNC was going to run a positive message for their campaign. I've yet to see one positive message come from Kerry and or.
Oh, you're not serious.
No, I'm serious.
Oh, then you haven't been paying attention. All of his ads have been positive. You haven't seen one ad from the Kerry campaign. I'm not talking about the DNC. You've not seen one ad from the Kerry campaign that's been real negative.
Actually,
not even coming close to the vitriol that's coming from the Republican Party. You can't honestly say that.
No, I honestly can say that because the simple fact of being that I've yet to see a positive ad that says we can do this for America.
Well, then you haven't been paying attention.
Quite the contrary.
You have not been paying attention. He's talked about Social Security. He's talked about Medicare. He's talked about insurance for people. He's talked about jobs for people. I've seen this over and over and over again.
Socialized medicine. Okay. What about...
I don't think he ever used the term socialized medicine.
Well, what do you call it then?
What I don't care what you want to call it. He wants to try and get insurance for everybody. Is that wrong?
Yeah, actually it is.
Okay, goodbye.
Well,
I don't like to talk to idiots. And the man's an idiot. If he doesn't think everybody in the country has a right to insurance, he's just not smart enough to be on the program. Sorry about that. Let's see. Where are we going to go to next? We're going to go to Joe in Punta Gorda. Hi, Joe.
Hi there, cute guy. How you doing?
How's things going up there? You still...
Punta Gorda's a mess. Right now I'm on my way to Walmart to buy a few things if I can find them.
Yeah.
But everything's a mess here.
Yeah.
And here we're looking at... We're looking at another hurricane,
yeah.
But I don't think this one's going to hit. I really don't think it's going to give a direct hit like Charlie.
Hope you're right,
Joe. Probably going to go offshore about 100 miles and go up the coast and maybe hit the panhandle. But it may not even be a Category 3 when it gets, or 4 when it gets up there anyhow.
Hope so.
Anyway, listen, I wanted to ask you about something. Every time I bring up the notion of conspiracy, people say, oh, you're one of those conspiracy nuts. Well, 30 years later... We find out that JFK wasn't really killed by Oswald. There's all kinds of stories out there floating around, I mean, about LBJ being involved, and maybe this guy that made that film was really right. I can't remember his name. He made the film JFK. So conspiracies do exist. I think when trillions and trillions of dollars are to be controlled and billions of dollars are there to be spent, if some nut is worth $100 million, assumedly, is going to take the time to create a disaster in New York, and it just simply for Allah or for the sake of the Palestinian people, or for whatever reason they came up with, they think this guy is crazy. I know he was a CIA operative. You know that. I know that. A long time ago when he worked with the CIA and the...
Against the Russians, yes.
So, you know, there are trillions of dollars under Iraqi soil. In 1972, let me tell you this, in 1972 or 3, I was an advocate of scientific government, and I was reading an article in Scientific American, which simply stated that the world's oil in those days was measured through geologic means. And I remember this about Saudi Arabia because in my ignorance then I assumed that Saudi supplied most of our oil, which they don't. But in Saudi Arabia, they had a 50 to a 70 year life left under the soil. That was their estimate in 1972 or 3. Perhaps the measures have gotten more accurate, but I don't believe personally that the Saudis were not involved in this. We attacked the wrong country, not we, George Bush. And I think the oil companies were in on it, and I'll tell you why. Because think what would happen if suddenly America, this country, and the Western civilization found it very, very difficult to get oil because there was a limited amount in the existing oil fields. A limited amount in the oil fields that we do business with presently. The oil companies are not about to even think about retooling their machineries. They're not about to think about retooling the entire industry for the sake of efficiency or the ecology or economy. They're interested in money. And if there's trillions of dollars to be made, remember the Caspian Sea has sixty-seven trillion barrels of oil under the soil there also. And that pipeline was proposed in 1996 by the now infamous Enron Corporation, which hasn't gone out of business. I just think that George H.W. was very, very angry when he lost that election in 92 to that what he would think is a hick from Arkansas. And I think George H.W., because he's so engrossed in the oil company business, it doesn't take much, you know, for one or two men to kick a snowball off the top of the hill if you've measured what's on the side of the hill for a half a mile down the hill. You know where it's going, how big it's going to get, and what's going to happen when it hits the bottom. So you only have to plant a seed and let it go. And that's what happened. I really don't think George W. is involved. He's much too ignorant a man to be involved in a conspiracy.
Oh, I think he's showing that more and more all the time. It's been,
well, I understand he's under anxiety now. He's taking anxiety
medicine.
Yeah,
hey, Joe, thanks for your call. I do appreciate it very, very much.
What do you think of conspiracy theories?
Well, I'm not a conspiracy theorist per se, but let me say this. I don't agree with you about the Kennedy thing. I don't think there's been any definitive proof that has satisfied me that it's other than what it was. It may be. I'm not denying it.
Of course,
but
there is.
No, there's been no definitive proof. But do I think there's been a great vast right wing conspiracy like Hillary Clinton said? Absolutely. It's as plain as the nose on your face.
What's wrong with the oil company conspiracy?
Well, I believe that, too. I believe there's absolutely, you know, when you start talking about Karzai and the people in Afghanistan getting the pipeline going across there,
sure.
You know, the Taliban was standing in the way, and now they're not.
So am I the only one that's thinking this way?
No, certainly not.
Well, why doesn't somebody talk about this?
Well,
I mean, if the Saudis are responsible for WTC, don't you think they ought to be doing some kind of investigation? I mean, even remotely responsible.
Well, the thing is, Joe, as long as you and I don't have the power to do so, it's not going to happen. As long as, you know, like you say, follow the money and you and I...
Well, they got away with it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for your call. I do appreciate it very, very much. Let's see. Who are we going to go to? We're going to go to Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Guy. How are you doing?
Great.
I just wanted to say something. I'm getting a little tired of Rush Limbaugh with... a show like 60 Minutes, if they're going to criticize the White House, there's no way that they're not going to offer time for the White House to respond. Now, this White House repeatedly won't respond, probably because their arguments are so pathetic. But then Limbaugh blames the Democrats for the fact that the White House won't come on to represent itself. And I can't understand that kind of convoluted thinking.
Well, it's simple, don't you think, Bill? They can't answer these questions. They really can't. I mean, it is so obvious. And again, I don't care what he did back then. This goes to the truthfulness and the character of the man.
Right.
That's all it's about. And, you know, we heard that over and over and over again by these swift boat liars. But it goes to the veracity of the man and whether he's, you know, if he's suited to be president of the United States because of, is he truthful with the people? They have not answered these charges except to say, oh, they dredged these up to, well, you know what? A lot of these things, they said he promised that all his records would be released. Well,
right.
What do you know? They found some more. And they keep finding more and more and more. And every time they come up, they don't answer any questions. They cause more questions.
Well, another thing, you talked right in the beginning of the program about how the Republican megaphone is so huge compared to the Democrats. And they're not going to, the Republicans are not going to be happy till there's no voice. And there's a lady named Linda Chavez, and she's got a new book. And I'm not against her book. It's her opinion. That's fine with me. But she is outraged that 3,500 union employees, not union workers, but people that actually work for the union, are out working for John Kerry. 3,500 in a country of, 300 million people.
Right.
And this administration is so pro-business that you know and I know that every business every corporation get their talking points every morning. All their planes, their helicopters, everything is for the Republicans because they know how pro-business they are and how they could be outraged by 3,500 union people working for John Kerry.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, they don't want anybody to be out working for Kerry, that's for sure.
I noticed that, just to go local for a minute, that our local talk radio has been eliminated.
Yes.
And after 15 years, now we're not going to have it anymore. We used to have a guy named Sam Donaldson on the air that was taken off because he was too liberal. Now Alan Combs has been taken off. And I wonder, are the Republicans really so afraid to have somebody on the other side to speak up?
Well, they seem to be deathly afraid of any voices from the left.
And I did see the interview with Hannity and Senator Graham, and I would like to go on record to say that if Sean Hannity lives to be an old man, which I hope he does, he'll never be the man Bob Graham is.
Not a chance.
I don't know if you saw it or not, but
I did. I saw it.
But Hannity set him up, told him a lie,
yeah,
and then bragged about it all week about how he set up Bob Graham, and boy.
And you notice Bob on our show, when I asked him about it, he was a complete gentleman about it.
And the last thing I heard Pat Buchanan last night saying why it was a mistake to go to a war in Iraq, because the Republicans said that if they had the weapons, they would give them to bin Laden and he would take them over here and blow them up. And Pat Buchanan said that couldn't happen because bin Laden hates Saddam Hussein. And if Saddam gave him an atomic bomb, he would blow it up in the United States, and then he would say, oh, by the way, I got that from Iraq, and I can prove it. And in the next 48 hours, Iraq would be vaporized.
That's right.
So that completely discredits the Republican move to go to an unnecessary war. And I just hope we have enough time to put our blocks back together in this country.
Agree with everything you've said, Bill.
Thanks so much.
Calling, and take care of yourself. We need to go talk to Bill in Seattle. Hiya, Bill.
Yeah, I have to tell you something. I want to talk about this George Bush and his Medicare program, the way he's killing us.
Go ahead.
Not allowing us to take our drugs from Canada. And I want to know what's up with that. What are we going to do about it in the Democratic Party? John Kerry doesn't seem to be saying anything about it. We got old people out there. Got a friend out here that, he can't afford his medicines. And here we got people out there in Iraq that, are killing our boys. It seems to me that Bush has got these kids all screwed up in their heads. And it looks to me that like these freedom fighters over there in Baghdad, are doing the right thing fighting this Bush guy. And I just don't understand why we don't do something about it. You got these freedom fighters and Najaf and Talazar. They're out there trying to protect their country from this madman. Is there something you can do to help us get some money to these guys and help them kick some ass over there, guy? Tell me what to do. Help. Let me help.
Well, I think they're doing what they can militarily over there right now. I think they got their butts in a sling militarily, as set up by Rumsfeld and all those folks. They just haven't done the job there. They just have not done the job. The military did such a good job to start out with, and when faced with what to do after the war, there wasn't an inkling from this government as what to do. As far as the drugs from Canada, there's no reason on God's green earth why our seniors can't go and buy drugs from Canada. That's absolutely silly. Let's face it, the big drug cartel, the big drug lobby here in the United States is absolutely what's paying to protect themselves against Canadian drug companies selling them cheaper. It's a shame. And let me say this. It's not only Republicans who've participated in that. There have been some Democrats. And I'll say it. I'll just say it. Paid off. They may not walk in your office and say, here's $100,000 for you to vote the way I want, but it's implied. And I hate it. I hate it that people on both sides of the aisle would do such a thing. I think if they can sell drugs for $10 in Canada, and it's the same ones, 20, 30, 50, whatever, here in the United States, go to Canada and buy them, and it ought to be perfectly legal. And, around here, they've closed all these. We had several places around here that were mail order places for Canadian drugs, and they put the whammy on and stopped every last one of them. It's a shame. It really is. 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. Going to go to Dan in Fort Myers. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guy. How you doing?
Great.
Great show. Listen to you every week. Won't miss it. Hey, the fellow from that just called in, was it Bill from Seattle?
Yeah.
He said he wanted to get
that wasn't Bill from Seattle, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think it was a fellow from Seattle?
That's a guy that identified himself as Bill from Seattle.
Oh, I see. Did he say he wanted to get money to the freedom fighters, meaning the Iraqis, to fight the United States?
Oh, the guy's an idiot. Let me explain something very carefully here before you fall into the guy's trap. He's an imposter that calls our show and other shows around, and he gives a false phone number, and he tries his best. He sits around all week long. And calls anybody he can from the left and thinks he's getting one over on him. And I don't know, he's got some sort of a sickness, as you might imagine.
Wow. Wow, that was one. Hey, a lady asked earlier, about, and you asked her about a DD-214. Did you get that clarified?
I didn't. Amanda, go ahead with that. What you were going to say?
A DD-214 is an honorable discharge form that everybody who's released from the military honorably is issued.
Okay.
Because I remember you asking her about that.
But I know she knows the answer because she's heavily involved in Veterans Affairs. She probably just didn't.
Sounded like it. Well, I've got a prediction. 58%, 42%. That's the way the election's going to go. Now, my question is...
Oh, I got to ask, which way?
Well, my question is you guys have been... What Dan Rather came up with forged papers? What else are you guys going to come up with to try to win the election?
Forged papers?
Yeah, the forged papers that they're waving in front of TV now.
Oh, you want to prove that they're forged?
Come on.
No, we're not going to listen to any Hannity screaming. Now listen, if you're going to call and make an accusation on this program, you have to back it up.
Like a true lib, you make stuff up.
No, back it up.
Absolutely.
Back it up, smart guy. Back it up. Tell me the proof that those are forgeries.
Now there's an objective voice, huh? Dan Rather from the left-leaning liberal media comes up with and starts. What else?
So are you stupid enough? Are you stupid enough to think? Now, don't talk over me. If you're going to call my show,
no problem.
Are you stupid enough to think that CBS would risk their reputation by a guy going out and telling lies? Are you really dumb enough to think they'd allow that?
The Clinton broadcast system? Sure, why not?
Well, you've just shown your spots. You're blinded by the right, absolutely blinded by the right. Let me say it again. They said the typewriters didn't have superscript in the 70s. They did. They said that Bush's... They didn't have Times New Roman font then. They did.
You guys get out of your own way, you know?
Huh?
That's why you're going to lose.
No, I'm giving you facts. You want to give me some back and tell me they're forged? I'm giving you fact after fact here by experts, not CBS people, by experts. Give me your facts that they're forged. What are your facts?
Fact and a liberal?
What are your facts? What are your facts? You can sit here like a crazy, wild man, conservative, and throw crap at people, and you never have facts. You see, my boy, you have drank the Kool-Aid over and over and over again, and you've learned your lesson well. You've learned your lesson very well. Keep throwing it. Keep throwing it. I don't have to have any facts. That's the way they started right off this week. Liar, they started it. Liar. And CBS will be able to come up with experts from now till the cows come home. And there has not been anything that has proven that these are forgeries. And if you're really an idiot enough to think that CBS, a major broadcasting company in this country for so many years, if you think they're dumb enough, I pity you. I pity people like this caller. I do. Because I know he doesn't have the sense he was born with, because he's willing to drink the Kool-Aid over and over and over again to guzzle it. Guzzle it. Whatever. You know, Hannity came on right after these documents came out. Liars, they're forged, they're forged. He has no proof whatsoever. In fact, let me tell you this. Every point that Sean Hannity made that these documents were false, every one of them has been proven, not by CBS people, but by independent experts. Every point that Hannity made has been totally, utterly refuted. And when it comes right down to it, Bush still didn't answer any of the questions. He didn't answer any of the questions. Why? Why can't he answer the questions? He totally refuses to. You know, why can't they answer whether Barnes pulled the strings to get him in? Have you heard him answer that? Have you? No. You have not heard him answer that. Why? You know why. Because they cannot. They cannot answer those questions. You know, Bush insisted all the relevant documents had been provided to the American people. Let me ask you, any of you right-wingers that got a good head on your shoulder, had he provided all the documents? I mean, I think the answer to that is rather easily attained and rather obvious. No, he hadn't provided all the documents because they found some more. They had to file a lawsuit to get them. You know, the only way George Bush can put this whole thing behind him is to answer the questions himself, and he hasn't. You know, 60 Minutes standing by the story, the Boston Globe now has had their investigative reporters working on it. They found that he actually did skip his medical exam. He actually did lose his flight status. He did actually miss months of duty, never showed up in Boston like he said he was supposed to. You know, these facts are irrefutable, absolutely irrefutable. And then we get a guy calls in like this. And did you hear him come up with one fact? This is why I tell you that these people are so damn dumb. A guy will call his program like that and not have one fact. Did you hear that? It's so typical. Did he have one fact? When I'm sitting here giving one fact after another, but he didn't have one fact, nor will he ever accept a fact. Because these people cannot accept a fact as a fact. They will not. Their hatred is so deep. So deep is their hatred that they will not accept the fact. I don't care if they read it in the World Book Encyclopedia. They won't believe it. That's how bad off they are. That is how really how bad off they are. I don't know what to do about it. I really don't know what to do about it. I don't know where reasoning goes. When you start and call here like that and start saying, well, you're lying or you don't have your, you know, you give the person facts, that's all you can do. And if they fail to accept it, there's nothing you can do. There's a voter right there that nobody needs to talk to because you're not going to change his mind. He's going to vote for George Bush. I don't care if they prove George Bush was a baby killer. He'd still vote for George Bush. Still would. There's nothing that's going to change his mind. You know why? Because they're only interested in winning. You couldn't be stupid enough, could you? You couldn't be stupid enough to think George Bush has made us safer. You couldn't be stupid enough to think that voting for George Bush is going to make us safer. Certainly you couldn't be that dumb. You know, I had somebody take me to task a week or so ago that I said all Republicans are stupid. And actually what I meant to say was that not all Republicans are stupid. However, it is generally true that all stupid people are Republicans. And that guy right there just proved it. All righty, let's go to Julio in Fort Myers. Hi, Julio.
Hey, what's going on, guy?
Great.
Hey, I was calling about what that last caller was just talking about. What the funniest thing to me is whenever these people complain about the liberal media is that they come out and they start saying that this guy's biased and that guy's biased and whatever, but then they quote somebody who's even more biased on the other side. And I'm thinking, okay, so you're not going to believe this guy because he wants Kerry to be elected, but you're going to believe this guy, you know, who is totally for Bush, and he wants to get Bush elected. And that is.
We're having kind of a trouble with your phone there, Julio. I think we lost Julio. I think we did. Sorry about that. Let's go to Mike in Naples. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Guy. How are you today?
Good.
Wanted to ask you if you were intending to, you'd mentioned the guy that had called in and was asking for funding for the Freedom Fighters. I didn't hear you say anything that would indicate that you're against such an activity. Are you prepared?
Now, don't be simple-minded with me. Please don't be simple-minded and ask a stupid question like that. That's a ridiculous question, and you know
it. Well, I mean, I don't hear you say anything.
You wouldn't ask that question of anybody. Would you really ask somebody if they want to send money to the Freedom Fighters?
I wouldn't ask it of any American. I'm asking it of you.
Well, you're just as much of a dumb moron as that other guy. I hate to call names like that. I shouldn't do that. I should just... But, you know, keep calling, guys. Keep calling, because you make my point for me. Week after week after week. I'm going to pause right now and do some Republican love and just further exemplify what kind of brains are on the other side of these issues. Are we ready with the orchestra for the Republican love? Yes, we are. And again, this just exemplifies what we're dealing with. You heard some of these calls today. My God. I hate it. I really do. When people call and can't even engage in a conversation, can't give you facts, can't discuss an issue, they start calling names, but no facts. Let me get off of that. Let me go to the Republican love right now. As you know, we get letters every week from some of our Republican brethren, and we like to call it a few minutes of Republican love. So this letter starts out, so now that it turns out that your hero, Kerry, has been proven to be a two-bit coward in Vietnam, how do you feel? See what I mean? Right there, two-bit coward, a man that joined the Navy and went over there, and the official Navy records prove that he is a hero. I think the world agrees that it takes a lot more. Now, you'll love this part right here. The guy says, or gal, I don't know who it is. I think the world agrees that it takes a lot more guts to be a fighter pilot like President Bush than to join the Twinkie Navy. Now, all you Navy guys, listen up. He says, he goes on to say, everybody knows that if you want to keep from getting hurt, you join the Navy. At least Bush had the courage to do something where he might get hurt. Kerry knew he was safe in the Navy. I was in the Army and my son is in the Air Force. Our family knows what it is like to join the real service instead of the Navy. Oh, boy. Every Navy guy I ever knew had no guts. That's why they joined the Navy. All they had to do was ride around on a ship and watch movies at night. Navy people are cowards, and so is their poster boy, John Kerry. Oh, okay, that's from Boyd. Well, let me tell you something, Boyd. This particular letter hit a little too close to home with me. My father was a World War II Navy vet. And I think if he were still with us, I think he might take exception to what you've said here. In fact, if you said that to his face, I think you'd be very, very sorry. I gather you haven't heard any real-life accounts of life on a destroyer or a battleship during World War II. I gather you've never done enough research to find out who it was who died at Pearl Harbor. How about Midway or the Coral Sea? Or how about the Submariners in the Navy? How about the Navy SEALs? Are they cowards too? You know, you've shown more ignorance in your letter than I thought was even possible. And it's an offensive letter. You know, one of the most dangerous assignments in Vietnam was with the Swift boats. You've slandered thousands upon thousands of Navy vets who died or risked their lives for this country in many wars. You know, and while it's true that there's a great rivalry between the branches of the United States Armed Services, there's also the greatest respect for one another and a comradeship. Evidently, you failed to learn that. Have a hard time finding you were in the service to say a thing like this. Next letter. Guy, you can make fun of President Bush all you want, but that will never change the fact that, oh boy, here we go, that he is our greatest president ever. See what I mean here? Whew. He proves it more and more every day. Sure, I know. He's Franklin and Teddy Roosevelt and Harry Truman all rolled into one. That's the way I see him, don't you? I have to tell you that when they compared him to Churchill during their recent hate fest, I nearly lost my dinner. That was pretty sickening. You know, of all the political comparisons I ever heard, I'll really remember that one most of all. I think a more reasoned comparison would be to compare him to Pee Wee Herman or maybe Elmer Fudd. You know, anyway, a 1,000 troop losses is nothing in the broad scheme of things, he says. How do you like that? You know, really? You know, he goes on to say we lost more than that in one day several times during the War of World II. War of World II. That sounds like a science fiction movie. Though. Anyway, he goes on to say, I don't have any children, but if I did and they died over there, I would be proud of it. Well, okay. If you can be proud that a government official told the country that a half dozen huge lies to get us in Iraq so that his buddies could knock down some easy billions of dollars, then so be it. But somehow I have to think that if you did have a kid over there and the team of officers came to your door to advise you that your son or daughter had been killed, I have to think you'd be feeling a little differently than you do in the snow. And let's see, one last letter here. Trying to press for time today. Guy, there has never been anyone on the radio as full of it as you. Well, here again, you know, he failed to say full of what? Bologna, beans, what? You know, I don't know. I have an idea. I know what I mean. He goes on to say, you say some of the most outrageous things I've ever heard, and you swear it's the truth. Well, once again, just like these callers we've had here in the last few minutes, you know, you can call any time you want to and contest anything I say. That is for that crazy Mike, except for that crazy Mike that called a little while ago. Anyone is welcome to call in and try their luck. He goes on to say, I was particularly upset with you when you attacked John O'Neill of the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. He's an honorable man, and everything he alleges against Kerry is the truth. And he has like six exclamation marks behind truth. You know, I'm not going to get into the minutiae of that again, but you've seen the stories coming out now from several Vietnam vets that say O'Neill used their names in support of his lies against their wishes. Some of them had no idea their names were being used, and even if they had been contacted O'Neill, they wouldn't have done it because they think John Kerry's record is what Kerry and the Navy and his shipmates all say it was. You know, face it, O'Neill is a snake in the grass, and America will realize it in the end. And that is all Americans who open their mind to the truth. And we see so many people that don't have their minds open to the truth. And you know, when it comes down to it, it's funny in one respect, but it's very sad for our nation. It's very sad for our nation that some of the people, like a couple of the calls that we've had here in the past few minutes, it's very sad that people think like that. I think they can cut off the music now. They tell the orchestra to stop playing, okay? It just amazes me, and it does make me, it gives me pause when I start thinking about people that think like that. I drive down the road nowadays, and I see people in other cars, and I wonder what he's thinking. I wonder, is this guy smart enough? You know, you have to wonder. You do have to wonder. When you hear people call in and, you know, start calling lies and can't engage you in a decent conversation and provide you, you know, you give them some facts, they give you some facts back, you give some, you know, that's what a dialogue is. And hopefully, at the end of it, you can, you can come up with an answer or at least a standoff or whatever. But when people like these callers today call in and start saying crazy stuff like that and then they can't back it up, what are you supposed to think of them? What are you supposed to call them? You know, and let me just tell you, my producer says that Dan called back with facts. See, here's what we're dealing with. It wasn't good enough that he got his 2 cents worth in the show. It wasn't good enough that he's got God knows how many hours and hours and hours of right-wing programming to listen to poison his mind every week in this very area. That wasn't good enough. He calls back, and the rule is that you get one call a week on this program. Everybody knows that listens. Then he referred he reverted to the third grade name calling and started hanging. You know, can you imagine calling in a producer and calling her names and calling me names? And that's what kind of childishness. And you know, you prove that when you start calling in and you don't have anything behind your arguments. So, you know, when I call somebody a simpleton or, you know, mindless and all that, why? I'm not kidding. That's what I had to deal with there, and that's what it was. I'm sorry that some of my more intelligent people even have to listen to a discourse like that. I really am. We got Kelly in California. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Guy. What are you full of today?
I don't know.
I don't know what you're full of. Let me shut my yellow dog up.
Yeah.
Because she heard me say hello.
Oh.
And then I tell you, I know you're almost at the end of the show, and it's just a quick call because I was thinking I ran across this today. This quote, and it's 6 years old. This is old news, really old news. Everybody's already heard it. But somehow, while I was listening to you talk to your callers, I just wanted to share it with you. Can I share it with you?
Certainly. You've got plenty of time.
Okay, here's what it says. It comes from 1998, 6 years old. And it's talking about the first Gulf War. Extending the war into Iraq would have incurred incalculable human and political costs. We would have been forced to occupy Baghdad and, in effect, rule Iraq. The coalition would instantly have collapsed, the Arabs deserting in anger and other allies pulling out as well. Exceeding the UN's mandate would have destroyed the precedent of international response to aggression we hoped to establish. Had we gone the invasion route, the U.S. could still be an occupying power in a bitterly hostile land. That's the quote.
Do I get a prize for identifying the composer of that?
Oh, I know you can identify it. Please do.
I think we're either talking about Colin Powell or George W. Bush, and most likely George W. Bush.
Yeah,
George Herbert Walker Bush.
Yeah, we're talking about George, the number 41.
Yeah.
Okay, and somehow that rings really true today, doesn't it?
It's right on the money.
It's right on the money.
Absolutely. You know, and it was George the First who knew and recognized that this Wolfowitz and Pearl and these people who are running this war, he knew they were crazy.
Yeah.
He called them the crazies. You know, they gave him some of the plans they were talking about, and he told his aides to throw their stuff in the wastebasket and called them crazies from there on out. He called them crazies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I thought that quote was, here we're coming up with 5 minutes left to go in the show, but I just wanted to call it and call in and give it to you because I thought that it was a pretty good response, and I was interested in seeing it running across it today of all days.
Well,
I think that we're still there.
Yes, absolutely, and we're going to be there for a long, long time. I'll tell you something that bothers me. I've yet to hear from either candidate a concrete good message of how we're going to get out of there. And I hope John Kerry will illustrate that a little better in the coming days. I don't think our side is doing a very good job of it right now. I'd like to hear. I mean, I understand it's hard to plan for something like that, but I'd also like to hear what kind of a plan we do have.
You and I both, we'd like a plan to get out, and we know it's not going to be a cakewalk. We know it's not going to be easy.
Nope.
Because we're going in, we're going to win in November, and we're going to go in and have to clean up somebody else's mess. We've got a mess to clean up.
Well, we've got a lot of work to do when it comes to this election, and you know, it's one of those things that we don't need to try and talk to people like the last couple of guys that called in. Like this, Dan. You know, you don't need to bother talking to somebody like that. It's like talking to the floor. You can sit and recite one fact after another and prove it over and over and over again by, you know, about like refuting these Swift boat vets. The people on the right wouldn't even believe George Bush when he said that Kerry served honorably. They'd tell you right off, no, I don't believe it. You know, so what do? You have to give up at that point.
Yeah, well, there's some you do have to give up on.
Yeah.
But
move on to somebody more reasonable.
Yeah, being an optimist, I'm pretty optimistic that most of our country is more reasonable.
Well, I certainly hope so. Hey, thanks for your call, Kelly. Good to hear from you.
You're welcome. I hope to hear you next week.
Oh, yeah. We'll get through that hurricane somehow.
Uh-huh. I'll be thinking about it.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yes, we are at the end of another program. I don't know where the time goes. Our prayers are certainly with all the families of the 9/11. They'll never be forgotten every year when this comes up, like we've celebrated, not celebrated, but observed Pearl Harbor Day every year. December 7th and 9/11 are days that will always, always, always be burned forever in the memories of all Americans. And we hope you'll think about those people and the terror and the travails that they all had. Do want to remind you, you're listening to the Guy James Show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you next week.
Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been the Guy James Show.
Top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
The worst of Ivan may be yet to come. I'm Deirdre Bryant. The hurricane is headed for the Cayman Islands with winds of 165 miles an hour. Forecaster Martin Nelson.
Category 5, we like to use the word catastrophic damage. That's about as bad as it can get.
Cuba could be hit Sunday night and then possibly Florida by midweek.
The models are beginning to show a little bit west track of where we had. Anyway, we're going to track it north from there over the eastern Gulf of Mexico towards the Florida Panhandle, and that would be getting into Tuesday and Wednesday.